is on Platte River Radio.
Classic Hits 98.9 Sports presents High School Football.
Shockey and Stevens wide left to get out of the shotgun. Halligan with Dibbern back there. They'll throw down the field. Got a man. It's completed to 20, the 15, and then a late hit out of bounds. First down catch hauled in by Ty Stevens. Great pass by Halligan.
Tonight, district action begins at Bertrand as the unbeaten Vikings welcome in the Amherst Broncos. High School Football on KKPR is brought to you by the Classic Hits 98.9 Sports Club.
And this will be a very short kick taken at the 21-yard line. Looking for some room. Dibbern breaks a tackle. 25, 30, 35, 99. Dibbern down the right sideline. 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Amherst. They're on the board on a 59-yard touchdown run.
Unbeaten state-ranked Bertrand looks to start their season 4-0 with a win against an Amherst team who's picked up their first win. They did so last week at home. It's the Broncos and the Vikings coming up next. But first, the New Tech Seat pregame show. We'll take you live to Bertrand with Classic Hits Radio Randy Bushcutter right after this word from New Tech Seat.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bertrand, where tonight they'll be celebrating 20 years of football excellence. 20 years ago this season, it was the Vikings winning the Class C2 football championship. They're a little bit smaller now today in terms of numbers of players and also school size because they're in Class D2, but they are once again starting their season at 3-0, just like they did 20 years ago. Tonight, their opponent will be the Amherst Broncos, no stranger to having success in athletics as well. Amherst, after scoring a lot of points their first couple of weeks, finally stepped up their defense because they got outscored in each of their first two games, losing to undefeated Pleasanton and also a heartbreaking loss to Loup City. But last week, well, they got past Spalding Academy by holding Spalding Academy to only 6 points defensively, so their defense really answered the call, and they'll have to do that again tonight as Bertrand comes in with that perfect 3-0 mark. A week ago, Bertrand played Elwood, but it wasn't that normal drive between here and Bertrand, but between Elwood and Bertrand. They played the game over at UNK, part of a doubleheader over at UNK. So a little bit different opportunity for Bertrand a week ago to play in front of a big crowd on artificial surface, something that they very much would like to do yet again later this year. They'll be able to do that if they can stay undefeated. But staying undefeated tonight will not be an easy task, because the Broncos at 1-2, you know, that record's not going to scare anybody. But, again, Ron Evans thinks he's got some things figured out. The head coach of the Broncos thinks he has some things figured out with his defense and thinks that he can really give the Vikings some fits in this one tonight. So right now, those young men out there playing football are thinking about the future. They're thinking about the present, and there'll be a lot of folks here in the stands that are remembering 20 years ago this season, that magical year where Bertrand eventually defeated Bloomfield for the state championship and went through the season undefeated. They also won a state basketball championship and also tremendous success in track as well. So it's Bertrand and Amherst. We're going to take a break, and when we come back with more of the New Tech Seat pregame show, we're going to talk to the two head coaches. In a few moments, we'll talk with Brent Streeter from Bertrand. We'll be right back talking with Amherst head coach Ron Evans. We'll talk with the coach right after this timeout.
Can you believe it's that time of year again already? Doug Duda here for Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center as they get ready for the fall sports season. They've got everything you need for football, volleyball, and softball, including gear for the Kearney Junior Football League, helmets, shoulder pads, pants, and shoes, and the Misco's professionals will personally fit your child so they're ready to go. And Misco's takes care of the high school kids as well with specials on football gloves this season and girls softball bats from Bowden and Easton and all the officials' gear that the men and women need to get the game called right. It's at Misco's on the breaks, downtown Kearney.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches. Stop in and visit the great staff in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. We can take care of all your banking, business, and personal. We offer all the ins and outs of banking to make your financial needs easier. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC. We'd love to have you on our team. We appreciate all our customers.
And welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits. Getting ready for Friday night football and the opening of district play. Now, not everybody has district play. Class A does, and some select districts that have six teams as opposed to five. But that's the case tonight as Amherst opens up at Bertrand. And we're joined by a longtime Amherst head football coach, Ron Evans, whose team got their first win of the season last week. And, Coach, kind of the funny thing, after getting some points on the board the first 2 weeks, it was the defense that held down Spalding last week, and 17 points was enough.
Yeah, high school football, and especially in D2, is kind of a funny business. Took me a couple weeks. I'm not the brightest bulb. Took me a couple weeks to get the people in the right spots on defense, and it our light bulb kind of clicked, and we played a lot better. Spalding's got some good athletes and you know, some good people up front and some good running backs, and our little scheme worked and had the right people in the right places, and we had a good effort, and good things happen when that occurs.
We look at your preview, and we use Bob Jensen and Huskerland Prep Report quite a bit here, and we look at the preview that you had talked to him before summer camps and before fall camp got going, is that you may have to rely on some of the young kids. So we're 3 weeks in. You've got seniors, but I think I've only seen three juniors on the entire roster, so there's not a comfort level in there of backups. How are they coming along?
Very well. Matter of fact, we're starting a freshman on defense and a sophomore on defense. So we went young on that side. We had to get a little faster. The first 2 weeks, we were just too slow for Pleasanton Loop City. So we had to get some younger, faster blood in there. And so we have went young. Like I said, the older kids are still, you know, manning the defense for the most part, but or the offense. But for on defense, we've had to go to the younger guys.
You talk about the score being lower last week. Was Spalding's defense that much better, or did you just kind of back it down a little bit, or were there some injuries, and you told me there have been, that affected you a little bit?
Right. We're primarily a, you know, running team, and we lost one of our big seniors. Dylan Halligan couldn't play last week. He's our tight end on the right side, so that kind of limited us, you know, which way we could go, and so we were kind of limited by that, so our running game wasn't as good as it could have been, but it was good enough to get the job done. I guess that was the main thing.
Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst, plenty of tradition there. So I'll have to ask you, do you feel you're the 70-50 football team, or you're the 17-6 football team the rest of the season?
I think we're the 17-6. So that's more of our identity. We talked about it early in the season. We had to find out, you know, who we are, what our identity was on offense and also on defense. Now, things could change this week. You never know from week to week what's going to happen. But we'd like to be the 17-6 team, you know, kick a field goal here and there and win with defense.
Of course, for the folks that haven't followed Amherst so far, of course, they got state-rated Pleasanton, who's looked really good on opening night, and then two home games, the 70-50 against Loop City and 17-6 last week. You have the Hurcock boys move in from Ansley, and obviously Stewart's just a big stud. What are you doing with him?
Well, we got him at fullback, which is his natural position, and he's been, you know, carrying the load at fullback for us and blocking for us for Tanner Tobenheim, so he's doing a good job there, and he's been pretty effective catching the ball out of the backfield too, so that's a pleasant surprise. And we moved him to nose guard. It's kind of a natural position for him, kind of lets him use his natural talents and get after things. So last week we had him at nose guard, and it made a big difference, so that's what we're doing with him right now, and he likes it, so I'm going to leave him there and let him get after it.
Ron Evans is with us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show as they get ready to play at Bertrand to open district play. Ron, it's not like you got a big quarterback and a big running back in Stevens and Tobenheim, but they pack a little bit of a punch, and they have played and started for you now for more than a season. What about what you do with them? Because you do different things. You'll line up offset. How do you like the way that you've been able to work with those two so far this year?
Well, they've been, you know, Tanner's been a pleasant surprise. He's gotten faster since his junior year, which has been a pleasant surprise, and he's running a little tougher inside. He's finally figured out kind of how to, you know, take it on to the tacklers and stuff and run a little tougher inside. He's a very good pass catcher, too, out of the backfield. So he's kind of a dual threat for us there. And Tyze is a good runner. He You know, he makes nice decisions with the ball, and he's been passing it adequately enough for us lately to get by. We're not a big passing team, but when we do spring it on people, he tends to find the right guy.
Let's take a look at Bertrand. They're off to a pretty good start. That's a program that seems to be really hot one year and really down the next, and right now they got a lot of seniors as well. What are you seeing from them?
Yeah, well, I looked at their roster. I think they got 25, 26 kids. I think only six or seven of them are freshmen and sophomores, so they are loaded with juniors and seniors. So, you know, they're definitely a veteran team, and they're pretty much a lot of the same guys that thumped us pretty good last year. They got a tailback, Chance Younger's he's a pretty special runner, so we're going to have to do our work to contain him, and then the quarterback, too. He's a good runner and passer, so we got our work cut out for us.
I was going to say, everybody, if there's a bunch of seniors on both teams, and they should be really familiar with each other from last year, do you concentrate on trying to make Bertrand throw the ball a little bit? Do you think you have the defense that can maybe make them try to do that a little bit?
Yeah, we've noticed that they like to throw to their running backs a lot. So, we kind of focused on that a little bit. They haven't thrown to their ends too much. I'm sure they have a little bit, maybe in a game we didn't see. So we're focusing on stopping the running game with Chance Younger and the quarterback, and then focusing on maybe keeping an eye on those running backs out of the backfield, because that's where they hurt people, is they sneak 21, I think, that's Tyler Dahlgren, out in the flats or deep, and also 17, Chance Younger on sweep or swing passes. So we got to watch that.
And you got some big guys, Ron Evans, with us for a last minute. Your line is fairly large. I know that you've had trouble with speed here, and I know that you've talked about maybe you're not the fastest team again this year. So
right.
does that hang with them? Does that bulk negate the not being fast?
Well, in a sense, we finally kind of found an offense that works for us, that we allow them just to lean on people, and then every now and then we'll pull them and let them get outside a little bit. But for the most part, we're pretty much straight ahead. And in the backfield, there's a lot of counters and misdirection and ways to maybe keep the defense frozen for an instant so we can get a block on them and help them out a little bit. You know, we're plenty big. We just got to be plenty smart and plenty aggressive, and we should be okay.
Well, Ron, always a pleasure catching up with you. Hopefully we've got a good competitive football game tonight. Best of luck as district play begins.
You bet. Thanks, Doug.
That's Ron Evans, head football coach of the Amherst Broncos, with us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show, and we'll catch up with Brent Streeter from Bertrand right after this timeout.
The Bertrand Nursing Home and Assisted Living is a proud sponsor of tonight's game. They offer long-term living facilities, assisted living facilities, and one of the best rehab programs around. They specialize in long and short-term care to get your loved ones back to their home, or, if they prefer, a great place of their own right in the building with 24-hour care. The Bertrand Nursing Home treats each and every resident with compassion and respect. The Bertrand Nursing Home in Bertrand.
Pro Team Design is proud to support our area athletes and their fans. We do that the best way we know how, which is providing quality screen printing and embroidery and unmatched service to all of Central Nebraska. For everything from youth football to college volleyball, we have the brands you want at prices you can afford. So call Pro Team Design in Grand Island today for all of your corporate, athletic, or personal screen printing and embroidery needs. Pro Team Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at proteamdesign.com.
And we're back on the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits, continuing our coverage of Amherst and Bertrand here tonight. And Bertrand comes in unbeaten. We're joined by head football coach Brent Streeter. And coach, back on your home turf after getting kind of a neat experience last week playing over at Foster Field and playing a pretty solid ball club in Elwood. Let's talk about the fun and maybe just getting the win and what that was all like playing at UNK.
Oh, that was a great experience. Our kids had a blast. Just, you know, being on turf, seeing a big jumbo screen, and we just really appreciate UNK inviting us over and whoever else is responsible for that. Hope Elwood, somebody had to lose that game, so that's the way it always is, but I hope they had a good experience too. And of course, Coach Mulberg's been around a long time, class act, we're good friends, so I just hope it was a good time had by all, and fortunately we came out on top.
Well, you're off to a 3-0 start, and after that first night, kind of a shootout with Medicine Valley, then Arapahoe and Elwood, their only losses are to you. How good do you think your football team is through three games?
You know, we're getting better. We really challenged our defense after that first game, and Med Valley played a heck of a game against us. That Leesburg got hot with the Gary at quarterback. He was hot. Leesburg don't drop anything. So we didn't really have much of an identity, so we were trying to find that. And then we came out and played a more physical ball game with Arapaho, which was more to our style with what they ran on offense. And Elwood showed us a little bit of everything. So we were real happy with how our defense stepped up, played. We're tackling much better. We're losing the turnover ratio, though, so we're going to try to focus now that to try to create more turnovers, tackle, and everybody coming in, do a little stripping of the ball. So tighten up the secondary a little bit, and I think we'll be fine.
Brent Streeter, the head football coach of the Bertrand Vikings, joining us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. All you have to do is look up and down your roster and your starters here. It's just chock full of seniors. Obviously, you knew you had a chance to be pretty good with this team in the summer.
Yeah, we did. We lost some really good players. Fortunately, the last 3 years, we've had a large senior, large junior class back-to-back. A lot of times in Class D, that don't happen. You'll have one large senior class, small junior class. But we were able to plug some holes that we lost last year and keep on going up to this point. And that's what I was trying to comment in the paper last week is against Elwood. We're senior heavy, and they've been through a lot of situations. So there's a lot of third down and longs in that game that we were able to convert, where in the past we wouldn't be able to do that. So it's nice to have those seniors, and we're going to try to take full advantage of it.
Well, obviously, you're lining up, you're using these seniors, you're running the ball. Chance Younger averaging 177 yards per game on the ground. You've only thrown the ball 17 times, even though you've got a good quarterback in the junior Ryan Dahlgren. That doesn't look like it'll probably be any different in this ball game, will it?
No, probably not. With the philosophy we've had the last couple of years is we're not passing a whole lot, but our completion percentage is really high. So our efficiency is really good. You know, if a guy can go 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 for every game, then you can keep them off balance. We're probably working Chance a little too much at this point early in the season. He loves it, and he can do it. But we have an inside game. The teams are just taking away from us. So we're trying to, loosen up the defense a little bit with Chance on the perimeter. But hopefully we can become more balanced with not necessarily running pass, but just with more people touching the ball.
Brent Streeter's chatting with us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show, home tonight to take on Amherst. Coach, you touched on your defense a little bit. You look at the charts here. Boy, real balanced. You don't have one mean machine guy there in the middle that's making all the tackles. Everybody seems to be stepping up in that first team.
You know, we've been preaching alignment and assignment for a long time, and this is a classic example with this year's team. We get to where we need to be, and we know what we're supposed to do, and again, that comes with experience and leadership. But we're real balanced in that area. You know, I don't even know who our leading tackler is after the season. It's been somebody different every week. But that's nice to see, and a lot of that comes from gang tackling, too. We got a lot of hats around the football, and that's always nice to see. We got a little more speed this year on defense than we've ever had, so that helps. Some of those perimeter guys are beating the defensive ends and linebackers to it, and then vice versa up the middle. So this is good stuff, and like I said, hopefully this defense can keep improving.
What's your initial thoughts on Amherst? They had a low-scoring game to get a win last week, but the two losses, they've seemed to be able to put up points and might be able to get into a track meet. I'm sure you don't want that, but what do you see from them?
Right, they got some good size, and the quarterback, he's really quick. That Stevens kid gave us fits last year. He's really good at reading the point of attack, and then he can cut on a dime, and he's most dangerous when he cuts against the grain at the line of scrimmage. And a lot of teams overrun him. We had to adjust to that a year ago, so we're going to try to challenge ourselves and stay home a little bit more on the backside and to be more disciplined, with our assignment backside rather than just trying to chase the ball down at the wrong angle. So that's what we've been focusing on, and I see they got a couple new kids in this year that we played against, I believe, from Ansley, so I hope that's right. But he's a good player and have filled in, and they'll be strong. So I know they're motivated to come get us. It's the first district game of the year, so everybody wants to get off to a good start in district.
Of course, talking about the Hurcock kids that moved in from Ansley, and Coach, with six teams in your district, this is the start of district play, so really kind of the second half of the season. Is there new emphasis now that the district play has got here?
Yeah, there is. We try to take a game, one game at a time, but we talked about this is a new season. We kind of have a few mottos that we go by and kind of team breakdowns. And last night we broke down as 1-0. We're just going to treat this as, hey, we're starting over. We're going to try to go 1-0 and take it game by game through the district. And hopefully if things pan out for us, we can get into the playoffs and just start a third season. So that's kind of how we look at it, take it in the different stages like that throughout the year.
last minute here with Brent Streeter, the head football coach at Bertrand, getting ready to take on Amherst. Busy week for you guys. Of course, the volleyball team's doing some outstanding things, and I can't let you off the hook without mentioning the big fella. There's going to be some old folks at the football game tonight that have a few trophies in the trophy case. Your thoughts, and are you going to let any of these guys talk to the team before the game?
I haven't really thought about too much before the game, but maybe I will kick that around. I mean, that's Viking tradition. Those guys got it kick-started. They had, of course, all three of the sports they were able to succeed in and start in the fall with football. So very proud of that. And every time we talk about a jersey change or a post-game change or a pre-game change, it's like we don't change anything until you guys win it all. They set the tradition. They got the mark, and we're more than happy to try to chase it down and very respectful of the tradition. And in fact, I was asked a question last week why we circle up after games and do Vikings twice. And I said, well, it's pride and devotion to who we are and teamwork. And I said, this is my 15th year here, and they're doing it long before I was here. So it's kind of a nice thing that they set up, and it just reminds you of who you are.
Well, I'll tell you, as we've said many, many times, you look at that roster and you look at the team from 20 years ago, well, there's Dahlgrens, there's Hayes. You can go right on down the list. And it's tradition of the names and the families that continue to keep things going there. And a great start to the season, Brent. Best of luck tonight, and hope to chat with you soon.
Appreciate that, Doug, and looking forward to hearing from you again.
All right, Brent Streeter, head football coach of the Bertrand Vikings, looking to start 4-0. We'll take a look at the starting lineups on the New Tech Seed pregame show right after this timeout on Classic Hits.
The Bank of Bertrand thanks you for your business and welcomes you to this sports broadcast. The Bank of Bertrand is your full-service hometown bank and invites you to stop in and see them for all your banking, from commercial to professional. The Bank of Bertrand has everything you need to keep your farm, home, and business running. The Bank of Bertrand, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Very proud to sponsor this high school sports broadcast.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Welcome back here to Bertrand. Let's give you our starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank. We'll begin, first of all, for the visitors, the Amherst Broncos. They come in with a record of 1-2. They started their season at Pleasanton and lost to the Bulldogs 50-20. And then a real shootout between them and Loup City, the Red Raiders, with a 70-50 win in week number two. That game was played in Amherst. And then the Broncos hosted Spalding Academy last week and won that game 17-6. So they are 1-2 on the season, and they're starting their district play tonight against Bertrand. And for the Broncos, their lineup looks like this. At end is going to be Wyatt Shockey. He is a 175-pound senior. Also at the end position will be Dylan Halligan. He's 215 pounds, 6'3", and a senior. Big kid there. On the offensive line, Darby Ortwig, a 5'9". Senior that weighs 190 pounds. Also on the offensive line will be Kalen Pfeiffer. He's 235 pounds, 6'4", and a senior. And Jacob Sadoff will be playing center. He's 275, 5'10", and a senior. So some pretty good size up front here for the Amherst Broncos. At fullback will be Stuart Hercock. He's 200 pounds and a junior. Running back will be Tanner Tobenheim. He's 160 pounds and a senior. And the quarterback for the Amherst Broncos is Ty Stevens. He's 155 pounds and a senior. Now for the Bertrand Vikings, who come in with a record of 3-0. They won at Medicine Valley to start the season 46-33, and then an easy game against Arapaho, 40-7. A very impressive win there. Then last week the game was played at UNK. They defeated the Elwood Pirates by a final of 49-22. So again, the Vikings come in with a record of 3-0. Their starting lineup looks like this. In fact, they go with all eight of their starters on offense, also start on defense. Tanner Nelson will play guard on offense. He is a senior, and the other end will be Calvin Hunhoff. He is a senior. Actually, I misspoke. Tanner Nelson plays guard. The other guard would be Nolan High. He, too, is a senior. The center is Ashton Peterson. He's also a senior. Tight end will be Calvin Hunhoff as a senior. Also playing tight end will be Mike Engren. And then the running backs will be Tyler Dahlgren, Chance Younger. Dahlgren is a junior. Chance Younger is a senior. Ryan Dahlgren will play quarterback here today. He is a junior. So those are your starters for the Bertrand Vikings on offense. And remind you that your starting lineup is brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank. Go to fivepointsbank.com and check out solutions, products and services that complement the way you live. So whatever your lifestyle, you'll find banking with Five Points Bank. The better bank is just simply better. And the starter is being announced here for both teams, both the Amherst Broncos, who are in their road white uniforms with the white helmets and the red numbers, letters, and trim. A little touch of silver in their uniforms as well. And the Bronco on the side of their helmet, very reminiscent of the design for the Denver Broncos. For the Bertrand Vikings, I hate to tell you how long ago it was I started playing the Bertrand Vikings in high school football myself, and it is the same helmet since, the 70s anyway. And again, you kind of heard from Coach Streeter earlier. They said, told the boys, if you want to change uniforms, all you have to do is win a state championship. We're going to keep it this way until you win it all. And I don't know if that's tongue-in-cheek or not. But in any event, it's the same basic uniform that the Vikings have had for a long, long time. It says Vikings over the numbers with those white numbers, blue jerseys, and the white pants, and then those very distinctive white helmets with the Viking logo on the side. Again, for the Vikings, a big anniversary being celebrated this year, 20th anniversary of their Class C2 state championship where they defeated Bloomfield 16-15. In the finals, and honestly, I went to that game 20 years ago, the state championship game on that Saturday night. That is one of the best high school football games. I mean, I really distinctly remember the game. There was a couple of goal line stands. It looked like Bloomfield was going to be able to keep Bertrand out of the end zone. Finally, their second time, they were stopped once, but their second time inside about the 3-yard line, they finally got it in after one goal line stand was successful for Bloomfield. Finally, the Vikings got ahead, and then Bloomfield busted a play. It was about one player away from going the distance and going ahead in the game. They were too far away to try any sort of long miracle field goal. They threw a late pass into the end zone that was knocked out of bounds by the cornerback High, and then, well, our own Tony Davis got the sack that ended the last drive. Everybody in the building knew that Bloomfield was going to have to throw the football, and the sack sealed the deal, and Bertrand won it 16-15 20 years ago. Not exactly 20 years ago today, but 20 years ago this season, and that team will be recognized here tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the kickoff between the Vikings and the Broncos. We'll wrap up the New Tech Seed pregame show right after this.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Tonight's sports broadcast is proudly brought to you in part by Tri-Valley Vets, serving Miller and all the surrounding area. Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believes all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatment. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows, either at the clinic or on your farm. Making it even more convenient for you is what Tri-Valley Vet enjoys doing. Best of luck, Amherst.
C Plus in Bertrand has the latest in movie rentals and a great selection of hardware supplies. Don't forget to visit the food court before or after the games. C Plus is the only stop you need to make in Bertrand to get everything you need for a great game, projects and repairs, or just a quick stop for food and drinks. The staff and management would like to wish all the athletes competing in tonight's game best of luck. Convenience Plus in Bertrand.
Welcome back here to Bertrand. Let's give you the Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center Injury Report. And Amherst has three players out of action, a couple of them because of rodeo accidents or injuries. Devin Diburn out because of an injury to his knee when he was rodeoing, and Colin Diburn also damage to his ACL out for this game, rodeoing as well, and Jacob Lobby out because he hurt his knee against Loup City earlier this season. And for Bertrand, a little bit of a concern for them. Tyler Dahlgren is nursing a little bit of a sore ankle, but as we mentioned, he is starting tonight, so we'll see whether or not he is full speed. This has been the Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center Injury Report. When you're injured, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center will get you back into the game of life with locations in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. There's one near you. Tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back into the game of life. The Bertrand Vikings won the coin toss. They've elected to defer their choice to the second half, so they will be kicking off and kicking to the Amherst Broncos. To put his toe into it will be Edgar Estrada. And Estrada, nice high kick, and it's going to be picked up on the far side by Tanner Tobenheim. Tobenheim right up the middle, and he's going to be upended right as he met by a pile by Nick High at about the 25-yard line. And that's no movement after the pile kind of met Tobenheim. And so it'll be first and 10 from the 25-yard line. Randy Bushcutter with you for coverage of high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, Kearney, Nebraska. Glad you could join us for coverage of high school football and just talking about how great it is to be out a beautiful night for football. Hope you're enjoying a game somewhere. Here's the first play up the gut, right up the middle of the fullback. A little bit of room to run, and rumbling, bubbling, and stumbling is Stuart Hercock. And Hercock is going to gain about 12 yards, nothing fancy, just right up the middle, and kind of channeling a little bit of Larry Zonka. Just got those big paws moving forward, and he gained about 12 yards on the play until they finally were able to knock him down in the backfield. And leading the tackle was Ryan Dahlgren. So Dahlgren helped upend him, and we'll see whether or not they go with Tobenheim here. They will hand it to Tobenheim. A little seam right up the middle. Bounces back to the inside. Runs over one man. Oh, he holds on for dear life. But it's going to be enough for the first down. Holding on is going to be Dahlgren. But a great run there as he gains about 14 yards on the play. Tanner Tobenheim, a gain of 14. Hercock, a gain of 12. So in two straight plays, they move the ball from the 25-yard line all the way down to the Bertrand 30. Ball put right on the 30-yard line. So that's actually a gain of about 18 for Tobenheim. And they'll just hand it off to Hercock right up the middle. That time, not much of a seam at all. Coming up from the bottom of the pile for the Vikings is going to be Nolan High. And High hit him low. It's only a gain of about 2 here for Amherst. So that'll set up 2nd and 8. And again, they've moved the ball very efficiently up to this point. Neither one of these two teams is going to put the ball in the air a lot. Both of them have that play-action pass, and if you bite too much on the run, then they'll try to get that hit on the outside. Neither one of the two teams are going to put the ball in the air much. Here they will go out of the shotgun formation, and so Stevens will run it. He'll keep it up himself right up the middle. Big seam runs into Dahlgren at about the 15-yard line, excuse me, about the 20-yard line. And that is going to be more than enough for the first down. Hit him about the 15 and rode right over the top of him. And that's where he's going to be down. And so he's going to have a gain of about 9 on the play. And that will be more than enough. Well, actually, we'll call that a gain of 10. More than enough for the first down as the ball is just outside the 15-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 from the 15 here for the Amherst Broncos. And in the shotgun is going to be Stevens. Stevens runs a little counter. And the fullback, Hercock, looking for some room to run. He doesn't want to go down, but he is going to be knocked down eventually. I don't think he got back to the line of scrimmage. Nice job standing up the pile there by Nolan High. And that's going to be no gain on the play. So 2nd and 10 here from about the 15-yard line. And Amherst does have in their repertoire field goals, but obviously on 2nd down, we're a long ways away to start thinking about that. Everybody looks at their wrists, see what the play is. Offset eye here. Stevens takes the snap. He's going to follow a blocker right up the middle, go off tackle, and he's going to be pulled down after he gets across the 15-yard line. Gain maybe of about 3 on the play for Stevens, and that's going to set up 3rd and long. And give credit to Bertrand. They kind of got hit in the chops a couple of times on this drive, and now they put together at least two good defensive plays here, and they need to come up with a stoppage on third down. If nothing else, they need to keep this real short so Amherst would not be tempted to go for it on fourth down and make him try to kick a field goal, if nothing else. Again, they're going to go offset eyes, offset to the left of Stevens, who is in the shotgun. They're basically lined up behind the tight end. They run a little counter. That's going to go to Hurkacz. Hurkacz tries to get the corner, and he's going to gain a yard or two, and he is going to be upended there by Edgren. Mike Edgren with the tackle. We'll call it a gain of maybe two on the play, and it's going to be second and a very long five. Well, actually, they got a better spot than I thought. It's going to be fourth and about four, maybe four and a half. I didn't see anybody running in with a tee, so they're going to go for it from about the 11-yard line. So, again, same formation, I formation, but to the left behind the tackle. They fake it to Taubenheim. Stevens keeps it, and he's hit behind the line of scrimmage. Lost the football, but they're going to say he was down. And defensively, they hold. Nice job there in underneath and leading the tackle was number 10, Robert Edgren, and Edgren came through there, and that's going to be a gain only of about 1 yard there for Stevens, as they didn't buy the fake, and the ball is going to be spotted right on the 10-yard line, just outside the 10-yard line, so they were a good 3 yards short of that first down. So Amherst moves the ball effectively, but no points to show for it in their first possession, so we'll see what the Vikings can do here. And the quarterback's going to keep it. Scrambling around back there is Dahlgren. Dahlgren, not much room to run. There is a late flag right at the point of attack. And we'll see whether or not that's an infraction for a tackle in there. It is going to be a face mask against Amherst. Amherst did a good job of swarming around. There wasn't any gain there whatsoever, but they're going to mark off 15 yards. So don't check it. It's going to be a 5 yard. It's not going to be the personal foul variety. It's going to be the 5 yard variety. Ironic, in the NFL, they got rid of the 5-yard face mask, and just a few years ago, they put it in high school. So that'll be a 5-yard gain, and it still will be first down. Actually, a little bit more than 5 yards. He gained about a half yard, so it's fourth and a long four. Bouncing to the outside is going to be Chance Younger. Younger has enough for the first down, and he's going to gain about 9 on the play as he gets that corner turned on that far side before he's knocked out of bounds by Stevens. So Younger with a first carry of the night, and a young man that's had a tremendous amount of success throughout the course of the season. The Vikings have put up some pretty good numbers. You know, they scored 46, 40, and 49. So the Viking offense has been pretty stout through the course of the season. Ball spotted just outside the 21-yard line. First and 10 here. Running the option is going to be Dahlgren. Dahlgren's just going to keep it, follow his lead runner through the hole. And not much of a gain, but it is a gain of about four, three and a half or so. So they're on schedule. As Dahlgren on that quarterback keeper on the option, just tucked it right behind his first back coming through. And it's a gain of about three. Ball spotted right on the 25-yard line. Ryan Dahlgren in under center, I formation. They're going to give it to the fullback right up the middle. Oh, boy, that hole closed very, very quickly. They handed the ball that time to Anthony Warda. And Warda gained maybe about 2 yards there. And filling in the hole very quickly was Stevens. Also getting there right away was Dylan Halligan. So now one back in the backfield. There's a wing back to the left behind Dahlgren. And they're just going to pitch it to the outside. That's Chance Younger. Younger dances back the inside, breaks one tackle, has enough for the first down, and he'll bring the ball near midfield. He's going to be just short of the 40-yard line, and that's going to end up being a gain of about 10 yards on the play. And Younger, a nice job of just kind of eluding the traffic on that far side, and he has it first and 10 from the 39-yard line. So the Vikings still on their side of the field, but they're awfully close to midfield here. Clock moving, 6:38 to go here, quarter number one. No score between Bertrand and Amherst. It's the first possession for Bertrand. They're going to throw the ball in underneath. It's going to be caught by Warda. And Warda had it. And he held on to it. I thought he was juggling for a little bit, but he held on to it. And he's going to gain about 5 on the play. So a nice little gain of about 5 on just a quick little rollout, a little bit more than 5, about 5.5 here as they got the ball right at the 35-yard line. So that'll be a gain right at 6 yards, I guess, once we do the mathematics. Quick little handoff to Younger. Younger up the middle. He's going to have enough for the first down. They bring him down at the 30-yard line. He's going to be upended there by Jacob Sadoff. Sadoff had to come in from the backside and make the tackle, as Younger got more than enough for that first down there. It is right on the 30, and again, that clock will continue to move here. This is Bertrand's first possession of the ball game. Amherst did a pretty good job. They drove it down all the way down to about the 10-yard line when they turned it over on downs. And now Ryan Dahlgren leading the attack here for the Vikings, and he'll hand the ball off to Younger. Younger up the middle, not much room to run there whatsoever, as Tobenheim came in from his linebacker spot and was able to upend him after a gain only of 2. Beautiful night for football, and actually this is one of my favorite venues. Nice new press box up here, or relatively new anyway, in Bertrand, and the old cornfield. I remember that for years and years on the edge of town here in Bertrand. Talk more about it here in a second. They're going to run the option. Dahlgren's going to keep. He slips a little bit. Give a little bit of pressure, even though he didn't make the tackle. Kalen Pfeiffer was there trying to force him to cut back in, and that forced Dahlgren to fall down. There is a flag on the play. It is going to be a hold against Bertrand. And we'll see what they decide to do here, whether or not to make it third and long or make it second and very long. Yep. Coach Evans is pointing to his right, so he says back him up another 10 here. They're going to back him up near midfield. They're just coming on the other side of the 40. So that's going to make it now second and 20, thanks to the hold there. National anthem done by the junior high band, and then some of those young men playing drums and things like that. As soon as they got done with the national anthem, they set their drums down and grabbed the clipboards and become team managers for the football team, and half the band, not half the band, but a number of the band wearing football jerseys. I just love Football Fridays in Nebraska. Bertrand trying to figure out what they want to do here on second and 20. They call the timeout. We're going to take it with them. No score. Bertrand's first drive of the ball game. 4:45 to go here. We'll see what they do on second and 20 when we come back right after this.
From checking and savings accounts to personal loans and 24-hour access to your funds, Five Points Bank personal banking solutions are simply better. To stay ahead in your business, you keep abreast of new technology. So does Five Points Bank. We'll help you stay one step ahead. Our experienced investment and trust advisors know the best way to help you achieve your goals. Stop by in person or visit us on the web at fivepointsbank.com. Five Points Bank, the better bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back here. I hope somewhere you're out enjoying some high school football. If not, thank you for joining us on the air or live on the World Wide Web. Glad you could join us for coverage of high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Later tonight, Tony Davis, Big Daddy, well, he's going to be here. He was part of that state championship team from 20 years ago. And Doug Duda, normally doing play-by-play on the FM, well, he's in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's tomorrow he's working tonight. I am pretty sure he's not. Let's just leave it at that. And we'll see what Bertrand has in mind here. And I knew Tony Davis isn't working. I knew that. It is going to be second and 20 near midfield. And we'll see what Dahlgren has in mind. He is under center. He's going to hand the ball off to Younger. Younger, nice little seam, bounces to the outside. He breaks back inside, met right at the first down 6, and he's going to have enough for the first down. Nice little job going to the left side, cutting back to a little seam on the inside, and finally, eventually, being pushed out of bounds by Wyatt Shockey. Otherwise, that one might have gone to the house. A nice 20-yard gain there for Chance Younger. What do you do on second and 20? Well, you hand it to a pretty darn good running back, and you open a nice little seam on that left side. They actually going to measure for the first down. I thought he got across the marker there, so I don't think he got a very good spot. Maybe he did step out of bounds before he was brought down. In any event, they were going to say that he's inches short. They actually brought the chains out. No, they couldn't have said he went out of bounds because they brought the chains out to measure where they spotted the football. In any event, he is inches short, so that's a gain of 20 on the play. Loomis leads SEM 6-0. 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. And, of course, we'll have more scores for you throughout the course of the game. And later on tonight at Platte Valley Prep's post-game show and the scoreboard coming up at the conclusion of this one. Third and inches. Dahlgren's just going to quarterback sneak it. And his entire body is about a yard and a half past the line of scrimmage. So that's more than enough for the first down. And so that'll be a gain of about two on the quarterback sneak. A little quick count. There just wasn't much to that play whatsoever, but it was very effective. Shuttling in the play is Robert Edgren. And Edgren tells Dahlgren what the coaching staff has in mind. They got one back in the backfield. That's going to be Younger. And they're going to run the option. Keeping it up the middle is going to be the quarterback, Dahlgren. Dahlgren just kind of dances around, finds a little opening, and he's down to about the 15-yard line, so that'll be a gain of four. And again, this drive started at the 10-yard line. They've marched it down to the 15 here, where it's now second and about six. Four-minute mark here in quarter number one. As both offenses have had some success, obviously nobody scored yet, but Bertrand has not completed their first drive of the ball game. In the eye is going to be Younger. A little confusion between the fullback and the quarterback, and finally being pulled down is going to be Warda. Warda ran right into Dahlgren. And again, you don't know where the mistake was, but the mistake was either the fullback or the quarterback was in the wrong spot, and that's going to be a loss of about three on the play. Amherst had that pretty well defended. Anyway, it probably wasn't going to be overly successful. It might have gained a yard or two instead of losing three. So now it's going to be third and about nine. Only back in the backfield is going to be Younger. And they're going to run the option. Now reversing his field is Dahlgren, and Dahlgren pulled down. That did not work. Dylan Halligan stayed home at his defensive end spot, and he's going to pull him down for a loss of about three on the play. I don't think it was intended to be a reverse pivot by the quarterback, but the quarterback went that way, and when Dahlgren went that way, Halligan was there to meet him. So loss of three. They're going to go for it here on fourth and about 12 from about the 22-yard line. Dropping back the pass is Dahlgren. Dahlgren's going to throw it up high in the air. He's got a man there. Caught! Is he inbounds? No! Out of the back end of the end zone. Chance Younger ran out of room. He did make the catch, but he was not able to keep at least one of those feet inbounds, and so it is incomplete. And both drives for both teams, their both initial drives, get down to enemy territory. Both teams got down to about the 10 and turned it over on downs. Wow, that was exciting because it was caught in the end zone. Not a bad catch by Younger, who caught it over his shoulder, but he was past the end line, and the official standing right there. So pass is incomplete. And Bertrand, one out of two in the air here in the shotgun. And a quick little sack. They handed it to Taubenheim, and Taubenheim is just knocked down immediately. Wow. Fired through there was Ashton Peterson, and Peterson gets a lot of high fives from everybody. That's going to be a loss of two as Taubenheim was knifed down immediately as he got that handoff from Ty Stevens. That did not last very long at all. Wow. So loss of two on the play. 2:05 to go here in quarter number one, and now the shotgun is going to be Stevens. Stevens takes a step back. Now he's going to throw it to Taubenheim. Taubenheim to the outside, breaks one tackle, slipped off, almost was able to come out of there, but holding on to his ankles was really the last guy that could wrap him up, and that was Tanner Nelson. And Nelson is able to hold on. They gain about seven on the play, so that's going to set up third and five. So first pass attempt here for Amherst is complete for a seven-yard gain. Halftime score, it's Lexington 13, Alliance 7. Kearney High up 7-0 with 7:21 left in the first quarter against Fremont. And McCook 20-0 over Northwest, that game also in the first quarter. And there's some movement up front, and I think Bertrand jumped off sides. Certainly Bertrand acts like it, and that might be necessary for the 5 yards for the first down. They're going to mark off the five, and we'll see where we are. It's going to be awfully close. They are going to say that is a first down. First down, Amherst. Classic Hits 98.9 FM will provide the scores. Valentino's provides the pizza, the home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Visit them in Kearney. I'm just hungry thinking about it. Shotgun formation here for Stevens on first and 10. He's going to lateral it back to Tobenheim. Tobenheim, not much room to run. Dances around. There was a flag on that far side. And there was about three or four players that really disrupted that one. Tanner Nelson did not make the tackle, but he was the first one there to kind of force him to the outside. And eventually picking up the trash was Nigel Forster. And there is a hold on the inside. So all the way around, there was some pretty good defense there for the Vikings, and I think the guy that collected the hold, because he got through there pretty effectively, was Ashton Peterson. So there was a lot of good play there defensively for Bertrand, and that 10-yard holding penalty accepted, even though there was a short loss on the play. And actually, that's going to be about a 12-yard penalty. So this will set up first and 22. Amherst has had a couple of plays of over 20 yards in the game, so this obviously is something they can do. They're going to go shotgun. I formation to the right, and rolling around is going to be Stevens. Stevens will throw here, and there's going to be pass interference. Yep, there early, and he knew it. Even before the flag was out of the pocket, Chance Younger was hitting the turf going, doggone it, I timed that badly, and he's going to be whistled for the pass interference. So that will give an automatic first down here to Amherst, I believe. Fifteen-yard penalty, ball being spotted at the 35-yard line, and it is an automatic first down. So penalties a little bit of the story here with 39 seconds to go in the first quarter. And a little sloppy in terms of penalties, but not a lot of turnovers or drop balls or anything like that. But there have been some penalties. Ball spotted at the 35-yard line. First and 10 here for the Amherst Broncos. Stevens in the shotgun. And again, movement up front and nose guard going off sides. And again, I can just hear those analysts saying, how can you be off sides when you're the nose guard? Football is right in front of you. Now, the pro level, I can see that. College level, I can see that. But, boy, you're 16, 17 years old, and you're pretty excited to play football. I can see how that can happen. Ball spotted right at midfield. It's right on the 40-yard line. Now the shotgun. Stevens is going to hand it to Tobenheim. Tobenheim just up the middle, bounces off one guy, then spins back around. He's going to gain right at 5 yards. It depends on the spot whether or not he's got enough for the first down. He is put down right on the 35-yard line. In fact, they mark him just short of it. And so by about the distance of a football, maybe half a football, they're short of the first down, but it is second and inches here. 14 seconds left. Amherst is still in the huddle. They may or may not get this off in time before we're at the end of one quarter of play. 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Stevens calling out the signals. I don't think he's going to get it off in time. He doesn't even want to. They're going to let the clock expire. And so it's all zeros on the scoreboard. The home team, Bertrand, 0, Amherst, the visitors, they're 0, and the scoreboard, the time, set at 0 as well. We got one quarter in the books, no score between the Broncos and the Vikings. We're back after this.
C Plus and Bertrand has the latest in movie rentals and a great selection of hardware supplies. Don't forget to visit the food court before or after the games. C Plus is the only stop you need to make in Bertrand to get everything you need for a great game, projects and repairs, or just a quick stop for food and drinks. The staff and management would like to wish all the athletes competing in tonight's game best of luck. Convenience Plus in Bertrand.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Welcome back here to Bertrand, the Vikings, and the Amherst Broncos. Deadlocked in a pretty good one. No score for either team. Both teams have moved the ball fairly well. from time to time. Both teams have kind of shot themselves in the foot with some penalties, however. It'll be second and 10 as we flip things around. And near midfield, we didn't have to move very much at all. Amherst now in the Viking territory. They've got it second and inches. And they need to get to the 35-yard line. They're just outside of it here. They're going to go shotgun formation. Stevens, long count. And he's going to reverse pivot, drop back the throw. Little ball fake. Now he's going to tuck. Has the first down. Makes a little cut to the outside. Has it at the 25-yard line. And great hustle by a couple of the linemen getting back there to make the play on the backside. And that was Dylan High as well as Ashton Peterson being pretty athletic tracking down the ball. But unfortunately, that's going to be a 10-yard scramble for Amherst. Unfortunate from the Broncos' point of view, however. Ty Stevens didn't really find anybody. He said, you know what, there's more than enough room for the first down there. I'm going to take what I can get. And he got a nice 10-yard gain on the play. So it'll be first and 10 from the 25-yard line. Here early in the second quarter, no score. And a quick count. They're going to hand the ball off to the fullback, Hercock. And Hercock, he's pulling the pile forward. And the Broncos, Vikings are trying to rip at the football. And Hercock holding on to it. And he's moving the pile forward. And so we'll see where they spot it. And the Vikings were trying to rip the ball out instead of stopping the fullback's legs, hoping to get that big play. And as a result, Hercock was able to push the pile forward for a good gain of about 3 yards on the play, even though it was met right at the line of scrimmage. And if that works, that's a great play. And Ashton Peterson was ripping at the ball, and so was High. But it'll be second and 7. Under center is Stevens. Stevens will hand it to Toppenheim. Not much of a hole there at all. And then Toppenheim slips through it. And making the tackle then is going to be Tyler Dahlgren after a short gain. End of the one quarter, Sumner Eddyville Miller 6, Loomis 7. I'll keep you updated on the scores of that one. They unstack everything. We got a gain of about 3 here for Toppenheim. And after some very impressive big runs, in their first drive, Amherst still moving the ball, but they've come in smaller chunks here since then here on their second drive. They've got it now third and about 3. And a quick little quarterback sneak. And we'll see where things get spotted. Stevens had it. He's met awfully close to the line of, to the first down marker at about the 15-yard line. So close, in fact, that they are going to stop action here and they're going to measure. Aurora 6, Waverly 6, 7:03 left to go in quarter 1, and Crete with a 14-0 lead over Norris with 3:05 left to go in the first. Kearney High with a 14-0 lead in the first quarter over Fremont as the Bearcats at home in what essentially is their homecoming. They are just short of the first down marker, so that'll be fourth down and about half of a football from the 15-yard line. Nose of the football is just short of the 15-yard line. They really got to get the nose of the football on the other side of the 15-yard line. Out of the shotgun is Stevens. And I think the Vikings again jumped offside. This time it was on the end. Encroachment against the defense. That's a 5-yard penalty without snapping the football. Bertrand gives them another first down. There's been 3 first downs that have occurred because of penalties, including a big 15-yard pass interference penalty. So now it'll be first and 10 from the 10. They have the markers there, so I think it would be mathematically possible to place that football down and not be a touchdown, but be a first down. But boy, not much room there at all. Stevens with the snap, a little bit high. He's going to roll to his right, has a couple of blockers, extends it, cuts back to the inside of 5, and slips through for the touchdown. Small little seam at about the 4-yard line. He slipped through, and that's a nice 10-yard gain for Stevens. And Stevens goes in for the score, 6-0, with 9:20 to go here in the second quarter. And I think they're running in with the tee, so I think Amherst will be kicking the extra point, I believe. We'll see. They don't see anybody marking. Yep, they are going to mark the ball down. Toppenheim is the holder, and the kicker is Darby Ortwig. snap to Toppenheim. He puts it down. Ortwig punches it through. That's a good-looking kick straight on, and the extra point is good. So 7-0 Amherst with 9:20 to go here in the second quarter. We'll see if the Vikings can answer back when we come back right after this.
At Killian Motors, it's easy to find your next vehicle. For 32 years, Killian's has delivered the best deals on vehicles, along with first-class service. Pick from extended and crew cab pickups, Acadias, Yukon XLs, and more. And for qualified buyers, they can be driven off the lot with up to 60 months of 0% financing or huge rebates. And right now, your trade-in has never been worth more. Killian Motors, 8th and Central, Kearney.
You're headed in the right direction.
Great Plains Crop Services in Bertrand specializes in crop protection for your farm. See Roxanne today and ask her how she can get you the best coverage for all your crops so you can focus on the more important things in your life while we take care of protecting your livelihood. Great Plains Crop Services of Bertrand is a proud supporter of high school sports. Best of luck tonight from Roxanne at Great Plains Crop Services in Bertrand.
Well, the Dahlgrens are back to receive the kickoff here. That'll be Ryan and Tyler back there. And teeing it up will be Ortwig, who just kicked in the extra point to make it 7-0 Amherst. On a drive that was extended by a couple of penalties, including a pass interference penalty. But again, the last time they had the ball, Bertrand moved the ball pretty effectively, so we'll see what happens here. And a good high kick picked up at about the 10-yard line. With the run is going to be Ryan Dahlgren. Ryan with a little stiff arm at the 20, down the sideline, and he stepped out of bounds at about the 30, 31. See where they spotted down exactly. It's on the near sideline, and some of the Bertrand players kind of blocked my view, and it was just, you know, there was just a little seam there that had he been able to get there, he probably gone distance. They actually are going to mark it down at about the 27-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 from the 27, and we'll see how Bertrand answers back here. Tanner Nelson gets the instructions from the coach. He runs in there last. And it'll be Ryan Dahlgren who will step in under center. Dahlgren calls it out. He's going to hand the ball to Younger, and Younger met in the backfield. He fights off the first couple of guys there, and then finally he's going to be hogtied. Immediately, Dylan Halligan and Kalen Pfeiffer were there. Younger was able to fight him off for a moment, but then the rest of the herd of Broncos came. And that's going to be a loss of about two here for Younger. So loss of two, second and 12 for Bertrand. And if you're Bertrand, what you don't want to do is, after the other team score, just go three and out. Dahlgren drops back the pass. Now he's going to scramble, has it across the first down marker. Now it bounces to the outside at around the 40. He brings it across midfield, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds. I believe that was Toppenheim that finally got to him. Nice little scramble there of about, I thought he was across the 40-yard line. They're going to put the ball right on the 40, however. So that's going to be a gain of about 15 by Dahlgren. Again, I didn't see where he goes out of bounds on that far sideline, but in any event, it is right at midfield. First and 10 here for the Vikings. Dahlgren going to hand the ball up right up the middle, and running hard is going to be the fullback, and I think that's Tyler Dahlgren. Yeah, Tyler got the ball, and he's got a gain of a good solid 9 yards. I think you're going to mark him just short of the first down marker. Yep, good solid gain of 9 for Tyler Dahlgren. And it's going to be second and very short. Quick count, hand off to Dahlgren. Dahlgren has enough for the first down, and he's going to be knocked down at about the 26-yard line. Gain of about 5 on the play. Just a quick little hitter, that first back out of that I formation. I'll tell you what, Ryan Dahlgren was under center for a nanosecond. I think it was on first down. He just stepped up there, got everybody moving, and they hit that one quick. First and 10 from about the 26-yard line, one back in the backfield. They're going to run a little counter to the wing back. That's Dahlgren. Dahlgren breaks through the middle, and he's going to go in for a touchdown. Broke through that inside seam, and once he got through that first level, there just wasn't anybody left, and it's a 25-yard run for Tyler Dahlgren. And Dahlgren gets Bertrand on the board. And we'll see what the Vikings do here. If they are going to kick the extra point and try to tie it, or whether or not they're going to go for two, and that looks to me like they're going for two. Yes, they are. So Tyler Dahlgren with a 25-yard touchdown. And now Dahlgren, the quarterback, is going to roll out. That's Ryan. Ryan's looking. He's going to keep it. He's going to be met at the goal line and go in for the touchdown. Got over the top of the pylon and is as he was met right at the goal line. So the two-point conversion is good. And now Bertrand with their first lead of the game. They lead it 8-7 with 7:40 to go here before halftime. Bertrand with the lead. They'll kick it off when we come back right after this.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Click.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's and Carney delivers.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
And welcome back here to Bertrand. The kickoff is being picked up by Ty Stevens. Stevens just off to his left trying to find a little opening. He's knocked down there, and so the ball will be marked at about just short of the 30-yard line. Will be first and 10 here for the Broncos, who are going to try to answer back. Right now, the McCook Bison with a 28-0 lead over Northwest with 4:14 left to go in the first quarter, and now the Bearcats with a 21-0 lead over Fremont over at UNK, so Kearney High looking pretty good in that one. Lincoln Southwest with a 19-0 lead over North Platte. That's in the first quarter. Thayer Central leads Superior 7-0 after one. You can tell we're kind of a soccer family. I just said nil. Stevens is going to call the signal's out of the shotgun. He's just going to follow a couple of backs on that outside, and he's going to be pulled down from behind. And I didn't see who it was on that backside. I think coming through from the bottom of the pile, and that backside attack by Ashton Peterson. It's going to be a gain of about 2 yards there for Ty Stevens. Last time he carried the ball, he carried it in for a 10-yard touchdown, and here he gains about two. It's 8-7, Bertrand with the lead. Amherst scored first, then a subsequent drive by Bertrand. They go in for the touchdown and the two-point conversion to have a one-point lead. Stevens looks at his two running backs, one just directly to his right. He'll fake the handoff and now go right up the middle, and he's going to be drilled right there. Filling the hole is Ashton Peterson from his linebacker spot. And that big number 66 with a beautiful form tackle right there. That was picture-perfect linebacker play. Flow to the hole and then fill the hole, and that's exactly what he did. No gain on the play whatsoever for Stevens. Maybe even a short loss on the play. It's going to be third and a good eight. Ball spotted at the 30-yard line. They're going to get it just short of midfield. Shotgun formation for Stevens. He calls out the signal, and he's going to hand it to Tobenheim. Tobenheim trying to get to the corner, cuts back to the inside. He is going to be short. He was upended. Pretty good pursuit there by Chance Younger. Tobenheim hit low by Younger and then also wrapped up on the backside by Peterson. And that's going to be a gain of about seven. And we got a timeout here for Amherst. They want to talk about what they want to do here on fourth and two near midfield. They call timeout with 5:42 to go here before halftime. 8-7, Bertrand with the lead, Amherst with a decision. We'll find out what they do when we come back right after this.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punch, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You'll find our lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. That's a big deal. At the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
And welcome back. We have some more scores for you from around the area. St. Cecilia leads Ravenna 7-0. That game is in the second. Crete with a 21-7 lead over Norris with 11 minutes left to go in the first half. Aurora 14, Waverly 13 with 4:03 to go in the first quarter. Grand Island 14, Columbus nothing at the end of one quarter of play. And again, Kearney High with a 21-0 lead over Fremont. Here it's 8-7. Bertrand with the lead. Amherst with the football. With 5:42 to go here, and they appear that they're going to go for it on 4th and 2 on their side of the field. They have it at about the 37-yard line. They got to get it right close to the midfield. They'll put a man in motion. That's going to be Toppenheim. Toppenheim comes right back up. He's going to be the lead blocker. Fullback comes through there. He's fighting. He did not get there. He did not get there. Great job by the Vikings line right through the middle, making a pile and sticking everything up. Nolan High was one of those big guys in there, and I think Calvin Hunhoff went in there. No gain on the play after the ball handed off to Hercock. Hercock absolutely nowhere to run. Not a bad design for the play. You get Toppenheim to come back and in motion be basically a lead blocker for the fullback, but a good job by Bertrand. They got a lot of size up front, and they did a nice job of filling in the hole. So they have it near midfield. Quick count. Dahlgren will pitch the ball to Younger. Younger on the outside cuts back in, has the first down. He's going to gain about 15 on the play, and he's tripped up there. Nice gain, just a quick little hitter as he just that little snap pitch out there. And leading the way on the block was Tanner Nelson. And so that's going to be a gain right at 15 yards for Bertrand, and they'll set up, obviously, 1st and 10. Again, they already had pretty good field position because of the turnover on downs, and now it'll be 1st and 10 from about the 23-yard line. Dahlgren in under center. Younger is in the eye, but they're going to hand it off to Dahlgren right up the middle. Dahlgren running right through there, and I thought I saw a flag. I think it might be a football on that far side some of the kids are playing with. No flag on the play. That is going to be just a good, solid gain of about 9 right up the middle. Sometimes when you see a hole that big to run through, it's because of a hold. But a good 9-yard gain there for Tyler Dahlgren. And again, last time he carried the football, he carried it into the end zone. And here it is 2nd and 1, the ball at about the 15-yard line. Man in motion. That's going to be Dahlgren. They're going to pitch it to Younger. Dahlgren's going to be the lead blocker. They're trying to get the outside corner. And from behind, making the tackle for Amherst, is going to be Kalen Pfeiffer. Brought the ball across the 15-yard line, and if that's not a first down, it's awfully close. It is not, and not close enough to measure. So Younger, we'll call that a gain of 1, and that might be a little generous statistically. 3rd and very short. Younger right up the middle, nice little seam, breaks one tackle, spins, lunges near the goal line. He's pulled down at about the 4-yard line. Good little seam. And he's going to gain right at 10 yards. In fact, we'll call that a gain of, well, we gave him a generous number before, so we'll call that a gain of 10. So it's going to be 1st and goal for the Vikings, who already lead it 8-7. We just crossed the 4-minute mark here of the second quarter. Offset line. They're heavy to the right. That's where the running backs are, and they'll give it to Younger. Younger cuts back to the left, and he's in for the touchdown. Nice little 4-yard run there for Chase Younger. And just like that, Bertrand has added to their lead. They now lead it 14-7, and I'm sure they'll try the 2-point conversion here yet again. Coming in with the play, as he shuttles in there, is going to be Austin Ackerman. And they break the huddle, and we'll see what they have in mind. They're going to go with kind of a tight formation. They are going to go with the eye here. Dahlgren is going to look to throw. Now he's going to roll to his left. He's got a man on the backside if he can find him. Now he's going to try to get to the corner. He gets to the corner. There is a flag down, and the flag was down very early on. And a nice job of bouncing around. Nope, again, I think that flag on that far side was another football. There's a yellow football over there. In any event, no flag on the play. The 2-point conversion is good. Nice job of scrambling for Dahlgren, who makes it 16-7. 3:46 to go here in the second quarter. and Bertrand building the lead. They'll be kicking off when we come back after this.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are.
Well, 16 straight points here for the Vikings as Bertrand builds a 16-7 lead here over Amherst. Amherst got the first points on the board, and I think that's just kind of made Bertrand angry. They put together a couple of nice drives now. Again, this was a shorter field because Amherst went for it on fourth down, short of midfield. And here Ortwig with the kickoff, a high kick, and it is going to be picked up by Stevens. Stevens right up the middle, still kind of dancing around over there. Not really much of a hole, and finally he's going to be pulled down at about the 25-yard line. And another special teams play here by Nick High, as High is able to make the tackle there. And again, I misspoke. The ball kicked off by, where's my number here, Edgar Estrada. Now, Estrada, that was a nice little kick, really, because it got the defense to kind of able to get through some penetration. It had a little hang time to it. A little bit shorter kick, but they had nice hang time. Stevens is going to go in the shotgun. He's going to lateral it back. That is a lateral. That's a live ball. And did they pick it up in time? Bertrand fell on it. And it is Bertrand football. It was a lateral, and Dahlgren eventually fell on it. Tyler Dahlgren near the sideline, and I wasn't sure if they're going to say he secured it right on that sideline in time or not. The official standing right there. And it is a turnover by Amherst. And now Bertrand with the opportunity to build a little bit more distance, as again they have the short field. It's about the 18-yard line. Just didn't connect on that lateral. It clearly was a pass behind the line of scrimmage. So now stepping in under center is going to be Ryan Dahlgren. Dahlgren is going to hand it to Younger. Younger, a little bit of penetration, runs to the outside though, has the sideline, and is eventually pulled down after he's out of bounds. But the whistle hadn't blown yet. There wasn't anything dirty about that. No flag upcoming, but a nice little gain of about 8, I believe. Yeah. They mark it, well, closer to 9 there. So Younger just basically outran everybody. And he has a nice gain of about 9. That's a pretty short yard, actually. The ball spotted right at the 10-yard line. And we got a timeout here by Bertrand. Bertrand not sure what they want to do, so they call a timeout. We're going to take it with them, 16-7. Bertrand with the lead. They're threatening to add to it with 3:27 to go in the second. We're back after this.
No matter where you are, even out in this cornfield, when you work with CHS, you're connected. Connected to global grain buyers and food companies. Connected to dependable energy at the pump, at home, and on the job. Connected to food ingredients tailored to your specific needs. Whether it's in energy, grains, or foods, you're connected. CHS, resources for enriching lives.
And welcome back here to Bertrand as, again, a nice drive here by the Vikings, but on second and short, I think they had some miscommunication, wasn't sure what they wanted to do, and didn't want to run the risk of having a 5-yard penalty for delay of game, so they called the timeout, even though they really had a lot of time left on the play clock. So they just kind of circle the wagons a little bit. Understand this is kind of a big moment of the game. With 3:27 to go here before halftime, it's already a 9-point lead here for Bertrand. And if they can score on this drive, it would be huge. Quick little hitter up in the middle, and it's going to be a touchdown. Good little seam as they hand the ball off to Tyler Dahlgren. On a quick little counter, and he goes in for the touchdown from 10 yards out, his second TD of the game. So that was a pretty good timeout. 3:22 to go here before halftime. It's 22-7. And again, a two-point conversion here would be huge. Two wideouts, wide to the right, no backs in the backfield. Dahlgren's just going to throw it out there, looking for his tight end. Had to throw it before he wanted to, and it is incomplete. Good pressure put on by Taubenheim. They were trying to get the ball out to the tight end over there, Calvin Hunhoff. But, again, Dahlgren did not have time to really set his feet, just had to throw the football and hope for the best, and it ends up being a little short. So, the try for two, no good. Score remains 22-7. Bertrand with the lead. They'll kick it off. We come back after this.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches. Stop in and visit the great staff in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. We can take care of all your banking, business, and personal. We offer all the ins and outs of banking to make your financial needs easier. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC. We'd love to have you on our team. We appreciate all our customers.
And welcome back here. Edgar Estrada going to be teeing it up here for Bertrand. Kearney right now, 28-0 lead over Fremont. 8.5 minutes left to go in the second. Thayer Central, 13, Superior 7. That game's early in the second quarter. Ziller Odell down 8-6 to Deschler after one period of play. Check some other scores for you here in a little bit. Estrada, good high kick. Stevens picks it up at about the 5. And he's looking for a little seam. Finds the seam on the right sideline. Estrada makes him cut back to the inside. And there they're going to wrap him up at about the 40-yard line. Estrada did not make the tackle, but he was able to play safety. And you don't see too many safeties wearing number 71. But Estrada was able to get the Stevens to come back to the inside. And there it was Nick High and Tanner Nelson who combined on the tackle. He got it across the 40-yard line. It'll be first and 10 from about the 37-yard line. But tip your hat to the kicker Estrada there. He did his job, even though he didn't make the tackle. And one more score for you. Lincoln, Southwest 33, North Platte, nothing in the second quarter. Shotgun formation for Stevens. More of a traditional look, a little bit deeper look. Pressure's coming. He'll step up, throw it to his right. It is caught and no, incomplete. He was already out of bounds. Yeah, they're going to say he stepped out of bounds before he made the catch on the near sideline over here. The pass was caught by Dylan Halligan, but Halligan had already stepped out of bounds. He had 1 foot inbounds, but if the other foot's already out of bounds, you're out of bounds. So it is incomplete. If you go in the air in high school, if you're in the air and you make the catch and land with one in and one out, that's a reception. But if you're already on the ground and your foot's out of bounds, you are ineligible to make that catch. So, again, here's the shotgun formation coming up here for Stevens. Stevens fakes the run. Now he steps back. He throws. It's a jump ball, and it is tipped, I think, a little bit. They were trying to get the ball into the hands of Hercock, but it was tipped by Ryan Dahlgren. And so it falls harmlessly to the turf. It is incomplete. So a couple of incompletions here for Amherst as they want to try to answer back. They are now 1 of 4 in the air, connected on their first pass, and since then it's been nada. And again, they're going to go with that I formation off the right guard, and now Amherst is going to call timeout. Third and 10 near midfield, exactly 3 minutes to go before halftime, and again, Amherst maybe starting to feel a little desperate. They call the timeout. We'll take it with them. It is 22-7. Bertrand with the lead. Amherst will go for it on third and 10 when we come back after this.
September is grand reopening month at Builders in Kearney. The remodeling is done inside and out, and Builders has added thousands of new items. Register from the 17th through the 24th for some fabulous prizes to be given away September 24th at 4 p.m. Must be present to win. $1,000 gift card, $500 gift card, Traeger grill, tools, and more. Visit BuildersNE.com for information on free clinics, including fast fix-up tips for your home. Builders does a grand reopening best this September at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does it best.
Welcome back here to the Leroy Hainer Press Box here at Bertrand High School. Longtime coach and real loss to this community. When Coach Hainer passed away just a few years ago, they named the press box in his honor, and rightly so. Tonight, very special night for the folks here in Bertrand. They're going to recognize the football team from 20 years ago that won the state championship against the Bloomfield Bees. You know, back in the day, I remember them having a pretty good-sized offensive line. Wow, that offensive line from 1991. much bigger today than it was back then. Here we got third and 10 from about the 37-yard line. And Tony Davis, if you heard that, yes, it was a dig. It was aimed at you. Shotgun formation. Long count, almost offsides. But Stevens gets the snap. No flag. He'll step up. He will throw it deep. And it's tipped and caught. Tobenheim was able to make the catch, even though it was tipped by Tyler Dahlgren. Dahlgren had pretty darn good position there. But instead, it is going to be almost, in a sense, intercepted by the offense. It's going to be down to about the 12-yard line. So that'll be a good 25-yard gain after the pass was tipped. So it will be first and 10, ball at about the 12-yard line. So that'll breathe a little bit of life into Amherst here with 2:40 to go. They only have one timeout left, but that's plenty of time. They're going to run out of downs before they'll run out of time. Stevens with a long count. He has running backs to his right in the I formation, and they're going to fake the handoff. Stevens rolling to his right, cuts back to the inside. He is pulled down after he gets through that seam almost immediately by Calvin Hunhoff. There is a flag down where you would anticipate a hold, and it is going to be on Amherst. I didn't see if they signaled a hold. I think they called a personal foul of some sort. I don't know exactly what it is. But that's going to negate a pretty successful play. I've seen the indication for personal foul, but I haven't seen what the personal foul was, whether it was, well, here it comes. Personal foul. Doesn't say if it's face mask, unsportsmanlike conduct, or anything like that. It's just 15-yard penalty. So that is going to back him up 15 yards, and they had an okay gain there, so it's going to set up the ball at about the 22-yard line. And this will be, well, it was actually marked off from a little bit past the line of scrimmage, so this is an awkward measurement here. I think it's about first and about 19. It'll be shotgun formation here for Stevens. And he'll fake the handoff to Tobenheim. He'll step back, throw in underneath, the catch right at the line of scrimmage, but immediately making the tackle is going to be Tanner Nelson. Nelson makes the tackle immediately after the ball was caught by Wyatt Chalky. So a nice job there, but I don't think there was any gain whatsoever on that play. Well defended for Bertrand. So that'll set up now second and 19. Some other scores for you. Adams Central and Gehring scoreless. 2 minutes left to go before halftime. Scott's Bluff up 28-7 over Hastings. That game is in the second. Some other scores for you here in a moment. Here we got second and 9. Stevens going to keep. Runs into one of his lead blockers, and then that hole closed very quickly at that point. A little meeting at the quarterback by Calvin Hunhoff and also Ashton Peterson. There might have been a seam there, but they weren't seamed off for very long. And that might even be a loss of about 1 on the play. So third and about 20. Stevens in the shotgun. He's going to look back to throw. Got a little time, not much pressure, only rushing two guys. Throws the ball deep, and it is going to be knocked down by Nick High. Again, the 20th anniversary of the state championship game. One of the key plays was late in the game. Another High, I believe Jason was his name. It was 20 years ago, so forgive me if I got it wrong, but he knocked away a pass in the end zone next to last play or something like that. So that's going to bring up now 4th and 20. Hines and Dahlgren's. There's just a few names here in Bertrand that have been here since time immemorial. 19.2 seconds left. 4th and 20. At about the 23-yard line. Stevens in the shotgun, and Amherst is going to call timeout. They're going to use their final timeout on this situation. That's not a bad idea here. If you don't get the first down, it doesn't matter. You do get the first down, you'll be able to spike the ball and figure something out. So timeout for Amherst with 19.2 to go here before halftime. We'll keep it right here. We got some other scores for you that we'll try to update for you. Crete 27, Norris 7, 3:07 left to go in the first half. Seward leads York by a field goal, 6-3 at halftime. Sydney, the Red Raiders over Holdridge. That scores are backwards there. Holdridge actually has the lead, 14-6 over Sydney at halftime. Adams Central trailing Gehring 7-0 that game also at halftime. Here we're near halftime, 19.2 to go. And it's 22-7. Amherst trying to cut into a 15-point deficit, but they've got a pretty tall mountain to climb here. It is 4th and 20, ball at about the 23-yard line. So we'll see what they've got in store here after the timeout. And it looks like Bertrand is going to rush three. Maybe they're going to drop one of them back. They're going to rush three. And Stevens is going to step up. Some pressure out there, and the ball is caught! How did it get through there? Younger was there and somehow caught on the backside by Dylan Halligan. Hannigan went down to the turf, extended, and made the catch on 4th and 20. We'll call that a 24-yard catch. Wow. Well, we'll see if they decide to go for two here or if they're going to kick the extra point. 13.2 seconds to go. Clock will not move on the two-point conversion attempt here, but it does look like Amherst is going to go for two. That's a big play. No, they're in kick formation. Didn't see the tee coming in. And so Art Wig will try the extra point. Tobenheim with the hold. A little shuttle pass on the inside on the fake, and Bertrand was ready for that. They tried the little shuttle pass up ahead to Ty Stevens, and Stevens made the catch, but there were a couple of blue jerseys right there. So the try for two is no good. Score remains 22-13. It's still a two-possession game, but Amherst gets back into it a little bit here with a bit of a miracle catch by Halligan in the corner. We'll take a quick break. We'll kick it off between Amherst and Bertrand. Amherst will have to kick it back to the Vikings. We come back right after this.
As a proud supporter of the athletes and academics, Scott of Slyker Heating and Air Conditioning would like to extend a great thank you to everyone. When you need a new unit or service on your furnace, air conditioner, or heat pump, trust Slyker Heating and Air. Scott takes great pride in his community and in all the athletes in and out of the game. From the smallest job to the biggest, Slyker does it personally so you know you can trust that it's done right. Slyker Heating and Air, serving Cumroe and surrounding area.
Well, the coverage of Halligan was so thorough, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't even really see him. The jerseys were over there, and somehow the pass got through on 4th and 20. Touchdown for Amherst, and they've cut that lead down to 22-13 with 13.2 to go here. For Amherst, Ortwig is going to kick it off. And we'll see if they do a little pooch kick. Yeah, they do. It's just kind of bumbling around a little bit. Bouncing around. Ball's loose. Amherst couldn't get there. Coming up there was Dahlgren. Ball bouncing around a little bit. Dahlgren just kind of slid in there and made a little diving stop in the hole like a shortstop just to hold on to the ball with 12.9 to go here. So it will be 1st and 10 for the Vikings at about the 27-yard line. And again, Tanner Nelson, number 8, who plays guard, comes in with the play, actually. And Dahlgren is under center. And he's going to roll out to his right. They're trying the hook and lateral, but it's intercepted. Stevens made the interception. You could see them trying to set up a hook and lateral, but it's intercepted. Stevens made the snag with 8 seconds to go. So Stevens with the interception, and now Stevens will be chucking the ball deep. Ball's at the 30-yard line, and you would think that Amherst is going to take a shot here by throwing the ball deep. They do not have any timeouts left, but with 8 seconds left, if they get out of bounds, they'd be in pretty good shape. But even if they get a first down and inbounds, they may not have time to clock it. So this might just be one or maybe two throws to the end zone if Stevens can throw it that far. He is in the shotgun, and he's got a personal protector back there. He's going to scramble around a little bit. This should be the final play. He's going to throw it in underneath. It is caught and then out of bounds. Defensively making the tackle was Tanner Nelson after the ball was caught by Halligan, and Halligan's knocked out of bounds at about the 15-yard line, the final play of the first half. And Hammer is showing some signs of life. They answer back with a miracle catch, and then the interception gave him a shot late. And so Bertrand will head to the locker room, leading it 22-13. But Amherst right now with a little bit of momentum. It's a two-possession game, but Amherst feels a whole lot better about themselves right now than they did just a few minutes ago. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. That's coming up right after this timeout.
Can you believe it's that time of year again already? Doug Duda here for Misco Sports on the breaks of the downtown Kearney Center as they get ready for the fall sports season. They've got everything you need for football, volleyball, and softball, including gear for the Kearney Junior Football League, helmets, shoulder pads, pants, and shoes, and the Misco's professionals will personally fit your child so they're ready to go. And Misco's takes care of the high school kids as well with specials on football gloves this season and girls softball bats from Bowden and Easton and all the officials' gear that the men and women need to get the game called right. It's at Misco's on the Breaks, downtown Kearney.
Do you have trouble hearing the radio? How about the phone or TV? Are you avoiding social situations because of a hearing loss? If so, see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center to learn more about the hearing aid products and services we provide. Or visit us at entphysiciansofkearney.com, caring for our community one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
And welcome back here to Bertrand for the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. And we had a little stretch there where there was a lot of offense in this game. It started with Amherst in the second quarter. Their first drive of the second quarter, they were able to punch it in on a 10-yard run by Ty Stevens as he kept it on the quarterback keep, and he went in for a 7-0 lead as the extra point was good. A couple of notes on that drive, a couple of extra first downs given because of penalties, including a pass interference penalty that gave them an automatic first down early in the drive. So drive kept alive by a couple of Bertrand penalties, and Amherst built a 7-0 lead. But Bertrand answered right back. Tyler Dahlgren with a 25-yard run to cap things off. The two-point conversion was good by Ryan Dahlgren, and that made it 8-7. And then Amherst, next drive, they went for it on fourth down here in midfield, and they turned it over on downs. And then from that point, Chance Younger took over. He finished the drive on a 4-yard run. Two-point conversion again was good by Dahlgren on the run. It was 16-7. And then the long pass, I forgot to write down one of the Bertrand touchdowns. The other touchdown was a 10-yard run by Tyler Dahlgren. As Tyler Dahlgren has two touchdown runs, his next drive because of shorter field, Tyler Dahlgren with the 10-yard touchdown. They went for two, did not get it, and that made it 22-7 at that point. And then late in the first half, Tyler Stevens to Dylan Halligan on fourth and 20 from about the 24-yard line. A good 24-yard touchdown pass, a great catch by Halligan in traffic. He went for two with a little sneak play. It was not successful, so the pass was shuttle pass was complete, but it was well defended, and the try for two is no good. So our halftime score, it's 22-13. Amherst scratching their way back, but Bertrand now has a 9-point lead. As Bertrand also, right now you're hearing in the background, nice rounds of applause for members of the state championship football team from 20 years ago this season. And Coach Kubik here as well to congratulate his team, former head coach and one of the assistant coaches also back as well. I can't really, with the hat on, can't really make him out, but certainly make out Ron Kubik after all these years. So, again, a fun night here for Bertrand, and they want to have even more fun by winning in 2011. And right now they do lead at halftime over Amherst, 22-13. We'll take a quick break. We'll take a look at some of the halftime numbers when we come back right after this.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back,
See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Plant smiles, grow laughs, harvest love. Rainbow Nursery is located between Bertrand and Loomis, north of Highway 23 on E Road at the home of Scott and Renee Davis. Rainbow Nursery offers many opportunities for you landscaping, unique plants, yard tours, presentations to many organizations on landscaping and nursery topics, as well as consultations. Rainbow Nursery has flexible hours to try and work around your busy schedule. So call before you make the drive and schedule an appointment to get everything you need for a beautiful yard and flower bed. Blessings to all of you Vikings from Rainbow Nursery.
And welcome back here to Bertrand. As you heard, congratulations for the state championship team from 1991, and a very special night as they also remembered one of their own that fell serving their country 5 years ago, who was a member of that state championship team from 1991. So a proper memorial and remembrance as well, not just the glories, but some of the lows in life as well. Once again, we're at halftime here as Bertrand with a 22-13 lead. And we've got some other scores for you as we're still kind of totaling things up. And so we'll get you updated on those. Lincoln Southwest, 53, North Platte, nothing. They have still a minute 45 to go in the first half. The longest drive of the night so far for Lincoln Southwest has been 5 plays. Southwest right now rolling things up against the Bulldogs. And head coach Bernie Madison, 53-0. And, wow, that's just getting things done in a big way. Other scores for you: Kennesaw leading Heartland right now 56-8. That game is at halftime. Grand Island cruising right now. They're up 21-0 over Columbus. Crete with a 35-7 lead over Norris at last report. Kearney High had a comfortable 21-point lead over Fremont. That game being played over at UNK. We deliver the scores. Valentino's delivers the pizza home with a grand Italian buffet. Remember, you can pick up orders to go, and they have delivery as well. Valentino's, home of the grand Italian buffet. Well, here it is, 22-13, comfortable lead here for Bertrand, but again, it was even more comfortable until late in the second quarter when Amherst got on the board again after 22 straight points by the Vikings. And so now the Vikings are kind of facing a little bit more of an uphill climb. And the team photo for everybody from the football team from 1991 that is here. And they kind of have to help the coach up a little bit more. Coach Kubik, not quite as spry as he was 20 years ago after a couple of touchdowns. I remember seeing him run pretty good. So still looking pretty good, though. Once again, congratulations to the Vikings on that their celebration from 20 years ago. We're going to take a break, and hopefully I'll have the numbers total up when we come back right after this.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Family Physical Therapy knows everyone has an ow once in a while. You might sustain an injury during competition or strain your knee or back doing chores at home. Your job now is to come up with a story to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was kickboxing in Japan.
It's Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center's job to get you back to the game of life. There's one near you in Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now Wood River. If you have an ow, tell your doctor you want Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center to rehab you back to the game of life.
And welcome back here to Bertrand, where the Vikings have a comfortable lead at halftime of 22-13. And let's go through the numbers here for the Vikings in the first half. Leading rusher is Chance Dahlgren. Dahlgren has carried the ball 11 times for 83 yards. He does have a 4-yard touchdown. So 11 carries for 83 yards for Younger. Also, Tyler Dahlgren, pretty successful, very efficient running the football. He has 5 carries for 58 yards. So his average is a little bit, about 12 yards a carry. And Ryan Dahlgren also with five carries. He's got 21 yards. So unofficially, I have Bertrand on the ground, 161 yards here in the first half. They are 1 of 4 in the air for 6 yards. Excuse me, 1 out of 5 in the air for 6 yards and an interception. That interception, nothing really came of it, as it was a somewhat of an attempted trick play late in the first half. They were trying to set up the old hook and lateral where you throw the ball in underneath and then pitch it to somebody as soon as you catch it who's running on the outside and hope everybody kind of sucks in on the guy that catches the football and then take it to the house. But the interception by Stevens did not even give that play an opportunity to have a chance at all. And for Amherst, I'm not done yet totaling up the numbers, so I apologize as I'm going to have to do a little bit of this in my head as I'm talking to you. Ty Stevens has carried the ball 9 times for, and I'm going to total this up here, 39 yards. He's carried the ball 9 times for 39 yards here in the first half. Tanner Tobenheim had a great start to the game, but really hasn't touched the ball that often, starting about midway through the first quarter, as he's got 35 yards on only 5 carries here in the ball game. Stuart Hurcock has actually carried the ball more times, Hurcock with 19 yards on 6 carries. So 19 yards on 6 carries, and that would make it 74 plus 18 would be 92 yards on the ground here for Amherst in the first half. 92 yards on the ground, but in the air they've been fairly successful. They're 5 of 8 in the air for 71 yards, and again, touchdown pass for Halligan from 24 yards out gets them back in good stead here on the scoreboard, even though they're trailing it 22-13. Tell you what, that looks a whole lot better than 22-6. Again, that two-point conversion, that fail on the two-point conversion does mean that they're 2 scores behind, but you got an entire half of football. That just feels a whole lot better than being 3 scores behind, that's for sure. Once again, our halftime score, it's 22-13. Somewhat comfortable lead here for Bertrand, who comes in with a record of 3-0, and Amherst 1 out of 2, 1-2 on the season. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
New Tech is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
ProTeam Design is the name you need to know for quality screen printing and embroidery, plus experienced and friendly service. No matter what the sport, special occasion, or business need, the staff at ProTeam Design can help you by providing unique and creative designs, your favorite brands like Adidas, Mizuno, Nike, and Wilson, and our specialty on-time order delivery. No job is too big or too small, so call us today for a free price quote. ProTeam Design, 2716 Old Fair Road in Grand Island, 308-398-1154, or check us out on the web at ProTeamDesign.com.
The Bank of Bertrand thanks you for your business and welcomes you to this sports broadcast. The Bank of Bertrand is your full-service hometown bank and invites you to stop in and see them for all your banking, from commercial to professional. The Bank of Bertrand has everything you need to keep your farm, home, and business running. The Bank of Bertrand, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Very proud to sponsor this high school sports broadcast.
And welcome back here to Bertrand. It's, again, a special night. You heard the introductions for the can't say the class of 1991. Actually, the seniors would have graduated in 92, but the football team from 20 years ago, and special moment of silence at the end for Jeff Hansen, who passed away in not in Afghanistan, but because of injuries he suffered in Afghanistan while serving in the military over there, and so that's why he's unable to attend here tonight. Certainly an absence that was felt here this evening. Right now on the scoreboard, 22-13 lead here for the Amherst Broncos and, for the Bertrand Vikings, who, again, are remembering that football team from 20 years ago. And myself, 20 years ago, back in the day, I was working at the TV station over at NTV, and kind of fun. I got to see 2 state championship games that day, one in Cozad where the Haymakers beat the Elkhorn Antlers for the state championship. That was a nice tight ball game. And then And then later that night, Bertrand with a 16-15 win over the Bloomfield Bees, and still one of the better high school football games that I can recall going to. Pretty good time. And one of the things I remember, we did a preview show before the game in that one, and I interviewed one of the kids who played for Bertrand, and said that, looking forward to the game. I mean, what would winning it mean? And they talked a little bit about winning it for the school and for the community and all that stuff. And they said, but we really want to win it because second place sucks. That was Tony Davis, and you can see he had a future in radio coming up with a wit like that. So, still one of the best quotes I ever got when I was working in television. You know, it's one of those things, you hear that, you certainly have to put that one on the air. I wasn't sure if I could use it, and one of the guys I asked whether or not it was okay was my good friend Bob Bowie, and earlier today went to Columbus for Bob's funeral, and that was a touching moment as well. Certainly miss him. So once again, our halftime score, 22-13, as Bertrand now with a nice little lead. They will get the ball back to start the second half as well, as they deferred their choice from the first half. And so they'll get the second half kickoff as well. A lot of memories here in Bertrand, but the undefeated Vikings hoping to make more memories, and Amherst trying to make a memorable comeback. We'll take a quick break. We'll have the second half when we come back right after this.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
C Plus in Bertrand has the latest in movie rentals and a great selection of hardware supplies. Don't forget to visit the food court before or after the games. C Plus is the only stop you need to make in Bertrand to get everything you need for a great game, projects and repairs, or just a quick stop for food and drinks. The staff and management would like to wish all the athletes competing in tonight's game best of luck. Convenience Plus in Bertrand.
Well, Bertrand scored in all but two of their drives here in the first half. One was toward the end where they kind of tried somewhat of a desperation play that ended up getting intercepted. And their first drive of the night ended when their fourth down attempt in the end zone was thrown a little bit too deep. The ball was caught, but out of the end zone. Other than that, they moved the ball fairly efficiently. So I'm sure Ron Evans, the head coach at Amherst, talking a little bit about what they have to do to kind of stop off the Bertrand offense, because they have to make a stop here. If Bertrand goes down and takes the second half kickoff, marches right down the field, it is going to make for a very tough row to hoe here for the Amherst Broncos. Conversely, if they stop and do a three and out, you would think Amherst get fairly good field position, and then they might be able to scrap right back into this game. Some more scores for you. Lexington 35, Lance 21. That game is now in the fourth, and Sargent leads Anselmo Myrna 35-0 after one quarter of play. Central City leads St. Paul 13-12 in the fourth quarter, and it's St. Cecilia 14, Ravenna nothing. That game is in the third quarter as well. Here we're about to start the third quarter with Amherst kicking off, trailing at 22-13. I think we have some other scores for you. Yeah, Thayer Central 21, Superior 7 at halftime. And now teeing it up is going to be the Amherst Broncos, and doing the honors is Darby Ortwig. So Ortwig at the 35-yard line. Again, they kind of do that little huddle thing where they might be able to attempt kind of a surprise onside kick, but they come out of it normally, so they're just going to kick it. They do squib it on the ground, and catching the ball and taking a knee immediately is one of the upbacks. That's going to be Brian Totti. So they just take the ball and kneel on it. And in under center is going to be Dahlgren. Dahlgren will put Younger in motion, hand the ball off to Dahlgren. Carrying the ball. After getting it from Ryan is going to be Tyler. And Tyler, really no room to run whatsoever. Shockey with the tackle after gain maybe of about two here for Tyler Dahlgren, who now has 60 yards carrying the football. And clock running. Option. And they're just going to pitch it back to Younger. Younger reverses the field, has the outside corner, has the first down, down the sideline. One man to beat, and making the tackle after he brings it across midfield is going to be Tobenheim. I'll check that. It's Mason Klingelhofer who makes the tackle. But, boy, that was a play that really looked disrupted and just a good athletic decision there by Younger, who reversed his field and ends up, I got to do the math here, gaining 18. I got it being 23 yards. So Younger, no, that's 28 yards, gaining 28 yards on the play. So it'll be first and 10, ball spotted at about the 32-yard line. They're going to hand it off to Younger. Younger dancing around, and he is held on to there by Stevens. Stevens just had a hold of his ankle right at the 30-yard line, and he was able to lunge forward a little bit. They're going to spot him down to about the 29. Again, I kind of thought he had a little bit more forward progress than that, so it's going to be a gain of only about three there for Tyler Dahlgren. And he just moving around like a hot item in a skillet. He just kind of skipping around a little bit. And they couldn't really grab him, and he ends up gaining about three and a half yards. He is the only back in the backfield. Dahlgren is under center. And they're going to drop back to pass. Dahlgren looking for Dahlgren and overthrows him. It is incomplete. Not a very big window to throw the football through there, as Mason Klingelhofer there had pretty good coverage on Tyler Dahlgren. And Ryan just, I think, just threw it in an area where he knew it wasn't going to get intercepted. And after completing their first pass, Bertrand has one interception and four incompletions since then. It's going to set up third and about six here. Younger, the one back in the backfield behind Dahlgren. They fake it to Younger. Dahlgren looks to throw as he scrambles around back there. He's going to run for it. Gets to the outside, picks up a block, and then tiptoes down the sideline and eventually goes out of bounds. And I think he's going to go out of bounds well short of the first down. Yes, he is. He's going to get back to about the original line of scrimmage on the play. No gain on the play. Had he been able to keep those toes in, he probably would have had enough for the first down. Instead, he gains maybe about 3 yards. They move the marker over there on the near sideline. I was having trouble seeing exactly how much space they gave Ryan Dahlgren. They gave him about 3 yards, and he needs about two and a half, three more. And they will go for it on fourth down from the 25-yard line. Long count, quick little pitch back to Younger. Younger to the outside, has the first down. It runs over Klingelhofer at about the 15-yard line. Klingelhofer holds on long enough to get a little help on the backside by Jacob Sadoff, but it's going to be first and 10 here as they take the ball from about the 25-yard line. That's going to be a gain of about 11 on the play. We'll make it a gain of 12, actually. A gain of 12 unofficially, and so it'll be first and 10 from about the 12-yard line. And again, if Bertrand can punch one here, they've converted on fourth down, and now on first down they give it to Younger. Younger, quick turn to the outside, and he's going to have a nice little gain of about eight. Got the ball and just kind of made a quick little stop on a dime, and one of the defensive linemen just couldn't quite get to him in time, and he bounced to the outside, and he's going to gain about seven. And Chance Younger, you heard from head coach Brent Streeter in the pregame saying, well, we were probably relying on Younger a little bit too much. Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, he's a pretty talented football player. He kind of like to put the ball in the hands of good football players, and Younger certainly is that. They're going to hand it off to him again right up the middle, has enough of the first down. He spins, drives, and has a touchdown. Touchdown from 6 yards out by Chance Younger. And that was a steady dive to Younger on that drive. Yes, he goes in for the touchdown. Most of the yards coming from Younger on the drive. He had runs of 9, 28, 12, 7, and 6 on that drive. So they hand the ball off to him five times, and the worst play he ever had was a gain of 6, and that was a touchdown. Here they're going to go for 2 and throw it in underneath. Ball being tipped around, it is incomplete. They faked it off to the fullback and then tried to throw it in to Dahlgren in underneath. The try for 2 is no good. Your score remains 28-13, a 15-point lead for Bertrand. Amherst will get their hands on the ball for the first time in the second half with 9:11 to go here in the third quarter. 28-13 back after this.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. Doctors Connolly and Owen have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time. We're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
The most recommended by far, Eustace Body Shop, that's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
Edgar Estrada kicking off here for Bertrand. It is in the air and bouncing around near that sideline, and it goes out of bounds at about the 2-yard line. Tobenheim kind of followed it out of bounds over there. Estrada nearly a perfect kickoff. Instead, that will be a penalty. Cambridge with a 21-0 lead over Perkins County. Also 21-0 St. Cecilia over Ravenna in the third. And it's been a while since we got an update from Kearney High, but at last report that too was 21-0, the Bearcats with the lead over Fremont. Ball will be spotted at the 25-yard line. That's where it will be first and 10 here for Amherst. That's the choice they decided to take. So it will be first and 10 from the 25 after the penalty on the kickoff. And in under center is going to be Stevens. Stevens will work out of the eye here under center, hands it off to his fullback right up the middle, and just chugging along there, trying to get some room to run is Hercock. And Hercock is able to keep those legs churning and gains maybe about 2 on the play. Actually, they unstack it. It's a little bit closer to 3. And the whole middle of that Viking line just kind of upended him down there. Filling in the hole there after the lineman did much of the work was Tanner Nelson. Nelson, good solid linebacker, fills the holes very nicely. And again, that I formation. This time they'll give it to Tobenheim. Tobenheim a little seam, slips off of one tackle. Younger is able to wrestle him down to the ground. Hop ties him after a gain of about 9. And if he had a little rope right now, he'd be tying his hands and his feet together and throwing his hands up in the air and asking for his time, because he was throwing that little doggy down, but it wasn't until after a 9-yard gain. Nice run there by Tobenheim. Good, solid, hard run. He now has 44 yards in the game. And he needs, I think, to touch the ball a little bit more. And maybe out of this I formation, he'll get more touches. They are going to go out of that shotgun formation, a little offset eye. In fact, their quarterback's just going to keep it, follow his back through. Stevens bounces off of one guy. Dahlgren is going to wrap him up with Younger after a gain maybe of about 6. And so Ty Stevens with the carry there. Good for about 6 yards. That'll set up now second and about 4. And if you're Amherst, you've got to answer here. You really have to put points on the board this drive. You're already down by 2 touchdowns. Somewhere in there, you got to get a 2-point conversion. And they just can't afford to fall behind anymore. They've got it across midfield with that run. Ball is about the 36-yard line. They need to get it down to about the 33, the 32. Stevens will hand it off to Tobenheim. Tobenheim off tackle, breaks one tackle right up the gut, and he's going to have more than enough for the first down. High with the tackle, and that's going to be a gain of the 6, about 9 yards on the play for Tobenheim. 26-yard line. So the first and 10, ball spotted just outside the 25-yard line. 7:19 to go here, third quarter. And trailing at 28-13, Amherst is marching. They're answering back here. That offensive line is making some little seams, some little holes here. They're not just pancaking anybody. The Bertrand defense is too big for that, but they are doing a nice job of creating some holes. Quick little pitch for Taubenheim. Taubenheim off tackle, breaks off of one, slips through there, and Younger is able to trip him up, but not until after he gains about 7 or 8. And again, Younger makes the tackle, but he was well blocked, and by the time he tripped up Taubenheim, Taubenheim had already gained about 7 yards on the play. So Tanner Taubenheim, with it being now 2nd and 3, I think he's run the ball extremely well. They really are looking toward him here in this first drive of the second half for Amherst. And rightly so. I think both these two teams are kind of going with their horses right now. Stevens is in the shotgun, and he's going to fake the handoff. He's going to keep it himself. Comes right back up the middle, and he has to duck under the tackle being put together by Calvin Hunhoff, but he has enough for the first down as he gains about 5. So it'll be 1st and 10 from the 15-yard line. 6:05 to go. Clock moving here. We're near midway through the third quarter. And again, for Amherst, this has been a successful drive, but again, after Bertrand scored in their first drive of the second half, they've got to answer the serve. You got to keep serve here if you're Amherst, and at some point you got to break back. Underneath center is going to be Stevens. He's going to pitch it back out to Taubenheim. Taubenheim bounces back to the inside. Boy, there's a lot of blue jerseys that filled in that hole there. Coming underneath and finally finishing things off was Ashton Peterson. It's going to be a gain maybe of about 2, and Taubenheim, I think, has done a pretty good job through the course of the year trying to get that cut back and come back across that lane. That Bertrand defense stayed in their lanes. They filled that hole very nicely, and there just was not a cutback lane. Taubenheim stopped, and nobody over-pursued. There was just a bunch of blue jerseys that met him right there. So it will be 2nd and 8, ball at about the 13-yard line. Quick little pitch back to Taubenheim. Taubenheim hit behind the line of scrimmage as Younger wraps him up. Taubenheim pulls him forward just a little bit. I don't know if he got back the line of scrimmage or not, as Younger got there very quickly. There is a gain of 1 on the play, but that is a good defensive play by Younger, who his task was just to fire through there, and that's exactly what he did. So 4:35 to go here in the third quarter, 28-13. Amherst is down. They've got the ball at about the 12-yard line, and they've got a third and a good solid 7 here. Obviously, this is 4-down territory. Stevens is in the shotgun. He's got that offset eye. He'll fake the handoff, roll to his right, looks right, throws, and it's intercepted. And intercepted in or near the end zone, and then taking it out for sure was Ryan Dahlgren. Dahlgren made the catch.
It was intercepted by number 11, Ryan Dahlgren.
And Dahlgren with a nice catch. He wasn't exactly sure if he was in the end zone for the touchback or not, so he got out and got what he could, and it wasn't a whole lot. Ball spotted it right at the 5-yard line. Check it. It's at the 1. Yeah, the marker I'm looking at, that isn't the full line. That's where they mark it for the two-point conversion attempt. He caught the ball in the end zone and ran out with it. He didn't know. The main thing was catch the football and make sure you secure it and end the drive. So even though the ball's pinned down to the 1, that's still a heck of a play if you're Bertrand. That's a good defensive stop there by Ryan Dahlgren as they end the drive with the interception. Quick little hitter right up the middle. There's really not much room to run there. We'll have to see if they unstack it. I think he got a little bit of a gain there. They're unstacking everything, and they're not looking at seeing whether or not it was safety or not. And I think the ball was, it was just a quick little hitter. I think it was actually handed to Tyler Dahlgren. And it doesn't really matter who I give the carry to, because there was no gain on the play. Dahlgren in under center. He's going to hand it off to Dahlgren. Dahlgren breaks one tackle, bounces to the outside, and is going to be met after getting a first down at about the 15-yard line. The last guy there made the tackle, and I'll tell you what, if Cale Preble doesn't make that tackle, that would have been a 79-yard run. As it was, it's pretty successful. That's a good 15-yard run there for Tyler Dahlgren. And now if you're Bertrand, you have a little room to breathe, and they're going to give up a little bit of that room with a penalty as the tight end on the right side moved a little bit early. So that'll be a 5-yard penalty. They'll give up a little bit of that field position as they had the ball out to about the 17-yard line. So Calvin Hunhoff is going to check in here. 3:15 to go here in the third quarter. And again, that run a little bit ago by Dahlgren, huge, because now they can pretty much do whatever they want to out of their playbook. And they hand the ball off to Younger. No, check that, off to Dahlgren. And Dahlgren, not much room to run there. Ran a little crossbuck action there, and Dahlgren really not much room to run. In fact, might have lost a little bit of yards. He lost about 3. So after a 5-yard penalty and then the 3-yard loss there, it's going to set up second and about 17. So we'll see what they have in mind. Second and 17 with a 15-point lead, but near their own 10-yard line. Ryan Dahlgren will be under center, and he'll pitch the ball out to Younger. Younger just trying to outrun everybody to that outside. He's going to be back near the original line of scrimmage. He's going to gain about 6.5-7 yards on the play, and that's going to set up now third, and we'll call it 12. So, again, for Younger, just nothing fancy about that. Just pitch the ball out there and just have him try to outrun everybody. He's quick enough and hits the hole hard enough that nothing fancy, but he has a nice little gainer. 1:50 to go. That clock is running. It is not an ally of the Amherst Broncos. Dahlgren's going to drop back to pass. He's going to throw the ball deep. Got in there, and it's caught! And pulled down at the 25-yard line. Great throw up ahead. And then Mike Egren had to turn around to make the catch. But they get it all the way from the 15-yard line across midfield to the 30 to the 25-yard line. So that is a 40-yard completion. That obviously will churn the field around. First and 10. Quick little pitch now to Younger as they have the ball fake. Younger, 5-yard gain, now cuts back in and going to gain about 7, maybe 8. And again, a little bit of ball fake there as they put Dahlgren's belly and then pitched it out to Younger. And that helped kind of suck up the defense a little bit, and the linebackers didn't know where to go, and that just gave a pretty fast runner in Younger a little seam there, and he ends up gaining about 9 yards on the play. Good look to the play there, and now set up now second and short. Must have said he went out of bounds because the clock has stopped. They'll hand it to Younger. Younger's going to run parallel to the line. There's a flag down. Turns the corner. Is in the end zone for the touchdown, but there is a flag right at the point of attack. And none of the Bertrand sideline is celebrating. So I'm sure this is going to be a hold, and that's exactly what it is. And it was right in front of the Bertrand bench. And the coaching staff not really yelling at anybody, but verbal comments are being directed toward offensive linemen, I believe. They're not complaining about the call. They're just complaining that the call was right. That will be now second and 10, because that'll be a 10-yard penalty from the spot, and so that will set up second and 10. Instead of a touchdown, it'll be Dahlgren in under center. He hands it to tailback coming in there was Ryan Dahlgren. Switched things around a little bit as a different quarterback was in there. I didn't see Nick High come in and play quarterback, and Ryan Dahlgren ran the football and just threw me off my bubble there completely. quarterback was in the eye, and I didn't even notice a change of quarterback. In any event, Ryan Dahlgren with about a 7-yard gain there, and now set up third and about three. And High still in and under at quarterback. High at quarterback, and Ryan Dahlgren is the tailback. They're going to pitch it to him. Dahlgren is wrapped up there by Taubenheim. So Tanner Taubenheim, nice little tackle there. Not much of a gain. In fact, a loss of about a half yard. We'll call it zero in the official stats, or very unofficial stats, mine. With 26.1 seconds left, that's now going to set up fourth down. Younger comes back into the game, and Ryan Dahlgren is out. So High is going to play quarterback here. And now Younger is the back in the backfield. So Nick High will hand the ball off to Younger. Younger dropped the football. Now he's trying to track it down. It doesn't matter who falls on it. It's fourth down. And that'll be a turnover on downs or a turnover. I'm not sure who came up with it. It doesn't really matter, as I said. As that'll be a turnover. One of the Amherst players came up with it. And it is a turnover on fourth and about four, as the ball was mishandled in the backfield. But it wasn't a bad drive from the Bertrand perspective, because they took about 4 minutes off the clock. 19.5 seconds to go here before the end of the third quarter. And our score is 28-13. Amherst down by 15. They've got the football. They still have time. And they're going to hand the ball off to Taubenheim. Taubenheim, hard run right up the middle. He's going to be met after about an 8-yard gain, and keeps that pile moving forward and unstack everything, and it's going to be a gain of about 11, maybe 12 on the play. And tell you what, Tanner Taubenheim runs behind those shoulder pads. He just has that little bend at the body, and very first thing that's going to hit you with Tanner Taubenheim is going to be his shoulder pads. You're not going to hit him. He is going to hit you. Ball spotted about the 32-yard line. Quickly, they hand the ball up to the fullback coming right through the middle. That's Hercock, and Hercock bowls his way forward. Right now, it's a little bit of smash-mouth football, and that is the end of the third quarter. But right now, Amherst is churning up some yards. They get a gain of 7 on that play. It'll be second and 3 near midfield. We come back. Your score, 28-13. Bertrand with the lead, but Amherst is driving. We come back after this.
The Bertrand Nursing Home and Assisted Living is a proud sponsor of tonight's game. They offer long-term living facilities, assisted living facilities, and one of the best rehab programs around. They specialize in long and short-term care to get your loved ones back to their home, or, if they prefer, a great place of their own right in the building with 24-hour care. The Bertrand Nursing Home treats each and every resident with compassion and respect. The Bertrand Nursing Home in Bertrand.
No matter where you are, even out in this cornfield, when you work with CHS, you're connected. Connected to global grain buyers and food companies. Connected to dependable energy at the pump, at home, and on the job. Connected to food ingredients tailored to your specific needs. Whether it's in energy, grains, or foods, you're connected. CHS, resources for enriching lives.
And welcome back here to Bertrand, where we're head to the fourth quarter, 28-13. The Vikings with the lead over the Amherst Broncos. Some other scores for you. Lexington leads the Lions 35-28 in the fourth. Gehring leads Adams Central 13-8 in the third. Fairbury extends their lead over Grand Island Central Catholic 23-7. Crete leads Norris 42-7. There's 7:01 left to go in the third quarter in that one, as they've got the clock moving here. This is the first play of the fourth quarter. Second and 3 near midfield. They'll hand it to Taubenheim. Taubenheim dances around, has a gain of about 4, and then he has stood up there. Dahlgren in on the pile. Also, one of the first ones up there and hitting him hard was Ashton Peterson, and that'll be a gain of about 5 on the play. That will be first and 10 in Bertrand territory. First and 10 from about the 37. And again, if you're the Broncos, yeah, you've got time to huddle up. You've got plenty of time in this one, especially if you can score on this drive. Lone count, quarterback sneak right up the middle on first down, and didn't really catch Bertrand in much of a surprise, as it's a gain of maybe about two. And I don't know if that was one of those things that you just see something when you walk up there and it's an automatic call, or if that was called immediately. It gained about 2 yards for Stevens. If there was a gap there, there must have been a stunt into the gap, because that hole didn't open up for very long if it was a decision at the line, if it wasn't audible. Stevens now has that eye right behind him. He'll step in under center. Hard count. Hands the ball to Tobenheim. Tobenheim hit right at the line of scrimmage, is able to kind of lunge forward and gain maybe about 1 yard. First one there was Tanner Nelson. Nelson, though, got help immediately on the defensive line by Nolan High. And so really no gain at all there for Tobenheim. And that's going to set up third and 7. Ball spotted at the 35-yard line. Got to get it down to about 28. And again, there'll be the I formation behind Stevens. 10:17 to go here, fourth quarter. And losing the football is Stevens. He was trying to pitch it and held on to it. I don't know if somebody was in the wrong spot and he was trying to stop the pitch or it started to slip out of his hands or what, but somehow the ball was mishandled, fumbled in the backfield. Stevens was able to fall on it. It is going to be a loss on the play, all the way back to midfield. So that's going to set up now fourth and a good solid 13. So definitely not something you want to have happen, a loss of 6 on third down. And Bertrand is assuming this is going to be a punting situation. They've got 7 guys basically in the line here, and they will punt. High punt. Dahlgren has it go off his shoulder. The ball is loose. He can't pick it up. It's near the goal line. Who comes up with it? Amherst inside the 5, claiming they've got the football, and they do. And Amherst has shine signs of life as Shockey comes up with the football. Wyatt Shockey was down there. The punt went off the hands of Ryan Dahlgren. Dahlgren tried to pick it up, couldn't come up with it. And you can't advance a muff, but where the ball was found, was covered, is inside the 5-yard line. It's inside the 3, I believe. I think we're about the 1-yard line. So it is first and goal at about the 1-yard line here. So after the muff punt, very short field, and they're going to hand it to Tobenheim. Tobenheim into the pile and into the end zone. Just right up the middle, nothing fancy about it at all, but thanks to the turnover with 9:15 to go in the fourth quarter, it is potentially a one-possession game. It is 28-19 right now, and they need to get a conversion, whether it be a one-pointer or a two-pointer. It does appear that they are going to go for, well, the kicker just came in. Don't check it. Stevens ran in, not 54, but just number 5. And so they are going to go for 2 here. I formation behind Stevens as they go for 2. Stevens, time to throw. Throws in the end zone, and it is incomplete. There really wasn't anybody open there, as he had time for a moment, and then Dahlgren put pressure on. So the try for 2 is no good. It's still a 2-possession game. But again, Amherst cuts into the deficit just a little bit. It's 28-19, 9:15 to go here in the fourth quarter. We're back after this.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for 3 touchdowns, even ran for 1. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Well, the muff punt gives the very, very short field to Amherst, and also gives them the opportunity to do something here. Maybe they would try an onside kick of some variety. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see them do it. Teeing up the football here for Amherst is going to be Darby Ortwig. And they're going to spread out like it is a regular kickoff. And we'll see if Ortwig tries to maybe line drive it. The hands team is not out there for Bertrand. And it is a little bit of a squib kick. It's bouncing around. It takes a high hop, though, and Dahlgren doesn't have any problem catching it. He'll dance around a little bit. Has a little bit of a seam. They try to strip it from behind, but he protects the football pretty well as he gets it out to about the 33-yard line. Took a nice high hop there for Ryan Dahlgren, as they did try to kick it on the ground, but, you know, sometimes about 30 yards downfield, it might take that high hop, and that's exactly what happened. So he had an easy ball to handle, and for a while there, it looked like he might even be able to break it. So, again, here in the fourth quarter, touchdown for Amherst. And they're able to kind of answer back a little bit, cut that lead back down to 9, and now Bertrand will try to milk the clock. They hand the ball off to the first back coming through there. That's Dahlgren, and not much room to run at all. More traditional look to the Bertrand offense here as starting quarterback Ryan Dahlgren back out there. He played eye back for a little while. As soon as Dahlgren's still playing quarterback. But on the near sideline here, High is warming up. You get a touchdown, we'd probably see a pretty steady diet of the number 2 quarterback. Here, handoff right up the middle. Oh, Younger tripped up after he gained maybe 1 or 2 yards. And if he doesn't get tripped up by a hand reaching in through there, he's probably going to take it to the house. I think it was Dylan Halligan who somehow got a long arm out there and tripped him up right near the 40-yard line. Gain maybe of about 2 yards here, and that's going to set up 3rd and about 4. Actually, we'll call that a gain of about 3 here. 4 Younger. So 3rd and 3, ball at the 40-yard line. They're going to hand it to Younger. Younger bounces to the outside, and that hole closed up very quickly. And a late throwdown by Dylan Halligan. Halligan was there hog-tying him. Plenty of help, though, coming up by Stuart Hercock as well. And it's going to set up 4th and maybe about 5 really quickly. They're going to look to rugby punt. Yes, they do, as Younger with the rugby punt. It was a quick punt, and it eventually rolls into the end zone. They went up there no huddle and went into it very quickly. Amherst didn't really even have a chance to get anybody back there. Kind of an interesting strategy, and I like it. I like that a lot, because why give the receiving team the opportunity to really get anything at all set up? Try that little rugby punt, snap it quick. If you catch them napping big time, then you just run with the football, and if not, you just do that little rugby punt. That was the first punt of the night. It goes into the end zone for the touchback. 7:45 to go here in the fourth quarter, 28-19. Bertrand with the lead, Amherst with the football from the 15-yard line. 1st and 10, they'll hand the ball, and wow, holding up his end of the bargain is Tanner Nelson. He filled in that hole very, very quickly. They handed it to Tobenheim, and Tobenheim was smacked down right as he got the ball. Tobenheim strong enough to get back to the line of scrimmage. There'll be no gain on the play, none whatsoever. Got some more scores that we'll check up for you here in just a little bit. Might get a special color analyst here. Ah, I think I am. Shotgun formation coming up here for Amherst, as Stevens, I think, maybe took a little bit too much time with the football. And joining us is Ron Kubik. Coach Kubik, good to see you.
Good to see you, Randy.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. So good back. A lot of familiar faces.
I would imagine. 20 years ago, the state championship, and to me, in a lot of ways, it seems like yesterday. I remember that game very well. It was a lot of fun.
It was cold.
It was cold.
Cold and windy.
Yeah. I remember late in the game a couple of goal line stands that Bloomfield had, and just like, you're so close, you got to get in the end zone, and you finally got it done. Here, we'll see what happens here on 2nd and 15. Stevens is in the shotgun formation here for Amherst. A little bit of pressure coming up, throws it in. It is tipped in underneath. Pretty good coverage there as they try to get the ball out to Stuart Hercock. What are you up to these days?
Well, retired from teaching and coaching, driving a school bus now and running a mowing service for another teacher. So keep it busy.
Where you at?
In Donovan.
In Donovan?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a few years.
Yeah.
Been a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, make it back over in this neck of the woods very often?
No. Once in a while for a golf tournament or a fishing tournament. That's my heavy work now.
That, hence, see the title of being retired a little
That's
bit.
That's right.
Stevens in the shotgun formation on 3rd and 15. It's a quarterback draw, and it's a pretty good call. It comes right back up to the middle. He is close to the first down. Nice call there. He's going to be a little bit short of the first down. He's going to gain maybe 12 or 13 yards, just maybe a little bit too much team speed there for Bertrand. And, well, we'll ask you, Coach, you go for it here. You're down by two scores.
I think you got to, Randy. Otherwise, you're going to be out of it for the rest of the year for good. So.
It doesn't matter what the score is. It's, the wins and the W's is about all you really worry about.
That's
here.
Right.
6:06
right.
to go here, fourth quarter. It's going to be fourth and about three. And Stevens under center. They're going to move both backs out of the backfield and line them up to the right. Stevens going to look to throw, dump it into his tight end, a one-handed catch for the first down. Nice little dump in underneath to Halligan, who made that circus catch in the end zone for the touchdown. That's going to be a nice little 8-yard gain for the first down.
A nice one-handed grab there.
That kid's made a couple of nice catches. He's the one that was well covered in the end zone, and I didn't even see him catch it because there was so much traffic around it. It's first and 10, just short of the 30-yard line here for Amherst. And now Stevens is going to be in the shotgun with 5:35 to go. He takes the snap. He'll step up. He throws. He's got a man. It is complete, and then out of bounds immediately after getting the first down is Wyatt Shockey. Shockey's knocked out of bounds at about the 30-yard line. So that's going to be a 21-yard pitch and catch, and Amherst is still very much in this, Coach.
They are. They're driving the ball nicely now. I think they got to probably keep it in the air, though.
You know, if Tony Davis can do radio, you got to think.
The old Big Daddy's walking around down here.
you call what he does walking?
Yeah. Well, we don't want to say what he really does.
Yeah. I imagine if he did that while you were coaching him, you would have gave him the right phrase for it.
That's right.
First and 10 from the 30. Stevens will reverse pivot after faking the handoff. Now he's got a scramble. He's got a little room to run out there, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds by Younger at about the 26, 27-yard line. Nice job of scrambling there, but a gain only of about three, but that could have been a whole lot worse, and you're seeing a fair amount of athleticism from Ty Stevens. And
Younger
again,
put a pretty good hit on him on that sideline.
You know, there's some pretty good popping going on out there. Takes a little adjustment for me. You know, for years and years, saw Bertrand playing, you know, playing 11-man ball and all that. And it just takes a little adjustment. That for an 11-man team, though, they got a lot of bodies out there
yes,
for Class
do.
D, too. A lot of participation.
Yeah,
here we got
see.
Second and about eight. Stevens steps back, has a guy, throws it, and did he get a toe in or not? They're going to say he did. Nice catch. Wow, what a catch by Tobenheim. Somehow getting that foot in at about the 11-yard line. So that's a nice little 16-yard pickup. And right now, Amherst getting it done in the air. And Tobenheim out of bounds, so the clock will stay stopped with 5:08 to go here. Fourth quarter, it's first and 10 from the 11. Having you do color, you're bringing good luck to Amherst. You might, you may not be welcome up here if they score.
I tell Coach Evans he owes me something.
Stevens is in the shotgun here, first and 10 from about the 11-yard line. And he's going to fake the handoff. He's going to look. He's got a man to the outside, and it's caught, I believe, by Tobenheim. And he is knocked down immediately by Dahlgren. But a good design there as they faked one way and threw it kind of uncovered to the right. And that's going to be a gain of about eight.
Made a nice little catch on the ball, too.
You never would. I don't think you ever had too many teams in Bertrand where you threw the ball a lot.
We did. You know, I think our state championship year we threw for a little over 1,000, but we put it on the ground a lot.
Yeah, I was a pretty had a nice touch on the
yeah.
ball.
Mm-hmm.
Stevens is going to be in the shotgun here on second and about three from the five. Pressure coming, throws in the end zone, and it's intercepted. Intercepted at the goal line and on the run. It's going to be Younger down the sideline. One man left. Cuts back in, picks up a block, and he is going to take it 80 yards for the touchdown.
Wow, what a play.
Well, just trying to get rid of the ball and trying to make something happen. Ty Stevens throws it. Younger makes a break on the ball, caught it right at the goal line, and takes it the distance. Picked up a block down there. Pretty good pressure defensively after the interception. And I think it was Hunhoff who actually made the last little block as Tobenheim came back and tried to make the tackle. So that'll be an 80-yard interception return for the touchdown. That's going to seal the deal. They're going to go for two here. And they're going to lob it into the end zone, and it is incomplete. So the score remains 34-19. Coach Ron Kubik, you want to stick around? You certainly are welcome.
Better go find my wife.
You probably better. You better stay in good with the missus.
Ron, Randy, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, too. Congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Ron Kubik, former head coach here at Bertrand, doing a nice job of color. Like I said, if Daddy can do it, certainly Ron can, that's for sure. 4:11 to go here in the football game. Amherst turns it over. Bertrand now in pretty good shape. We'll take a break. We're back right after this.
At Killian Motors, it's easy to find your next vehicle. For 32 years, Killian's has delivered the best deals on vehicles, along with first-class service. Pick from extended and crew cab pickups, Acadias, Yukon XLs, and more. And for qualified buyers, they can be driven off the lot with up to 60 months of 0% financing or huge rebates. And right now, your trade-in has never been worth more. Killian Motors, 8th and Central, Kearney.
You're headed in the right direction for service savings.
Well, after Amherst kind of having a chance to get back in it, the table cannot be turned any more dramatically than going from a defensive touchdown from goal line to goal line. And that's exactly what Chance Younger was able to do. Made the interception, took it right down the sideline, picked up one key block at about the 20-yard line after he already ran with the ball 60 yards. And that probably has sealed the deal here for Bertrand, who you would think would move now to 4-0. If Amherst comes back at this point, it is one for the ages. High kick, and it is going to be touched by Tobenheim. Tobenheim down the sideline, and that hole closed pretty quickly. And he does not make it back to the 15-yard line, I don't believe. I think it's just a little bit short of the 15. With 4:07 left, and I think Tobenheim is down. He was trying to get up and kind of rolling around. I think he got hit in the stomach. I think he just got the wind knocked out of him. So we'll check the situation here, and we'll take a quick break. 4:07 to go here, fourth quarter. We'll take a break for an apparent minor injury on the field. We'll be back right after this.
The staff and management of State Bank of Riverdale in Riverdale are very proud to support all our area athletes and coaches. Stop in and visit the great staff in Riverdale or one of our loan production offices in Kearney and Ord. We can take care of all your banking, business, and personal. We offer all the ins and outs of banking to make your financial needs easier. State Bank of Riverdale, member FDIC. We'd love to have you on our team. We appreciate all our customers.
And welcome back here to Bertrand as the Vikings right now with that defensive touchdown having a fairly comfortable 34-19 lead. But right now they're concentrating on player for Amherst, and I believe that is Tobenheim that is down after making the kick return. And he tried to get back up, and it appeared that either he cramped up or was hit in the stomach, and they're not moving him, but then again, there also doesn't appear that they're working on his neck or anything like that. So they're reaching out for him, and they're moving him. So it doesn't look like this is anything real serious. They're going to sit him up. So I don't know if maybe he was hit harder than I anticipated, and he was a little woozy or what. But I'm interpreting this as he got hit in the stomach and just had the wind knocked out of him. And my correction, it wasn't Tobenheim. It was one of his blockers, Cale Preble, as it's actually Preble that's down there, and he's walking off, and after he gets out of the field of play a little bit, he's feeling a little bit better. He's not gimping or anything, and I think my impression is right that he basically got hit in the stomach, and that hurts, don't get me wrong, but it's not a permanent thing, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him back into the field here in a little bit. And actually, I think he might have got hit on the side. And I think maybe it was just kind of like a shot in the kidneys. In any event, they are kind of taking a look at him, and I think he's probably going to be okay. This Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center Injury Report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. When you're injured, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center will get you back into the game alive with locations at Kearney, Ravenna, Minden, Elm Creek, Franklin, Lexington, and now in Wood River. So it is now 1st and 10 here for Amherst. Ball spotted at the 13-yard line. Stevens is going to keep it. He's going to roll to his right, and he is kind of on a student body right over there, and he's going to be pulled down from behind by Calvin Hunhoff after a gain maybe of about 7, maybe 8 yards. Yeah, a little bit closer to 8 yards, as they're going to give him a fairly good spot over there. Gain of 8, and we'll call this 2nd and about a yard and a half. 3:38 to go here. Clock is moving. And again, down by 15 points is going to be Amherst. They'll hand the ball off on that right side to Toppenheim. Toppenheim has enough for the first down, and he's going to be knocked down at about the 30-yard line. Gain of about 9 on the play. That'll stop the clock to move the chains. And Amherst still huddling up here with 3:22 to go. They've got a little time to huddle up, but they're going to have to move pretty quickly. Coach Evans runs out there, gives his quarterback the play. Stevens tells everybody they're still in the huddle. Clock has not started yet. Must have gone out of bounds. So absolutely huddle up if you got time to do it. Shotgun formation here for Stevens. He's got the offset eye, and Stevens going to keep it. Has a lead blocker. That's Toppenheim. Gets the sideline and is going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 35-yard line. Tracking him down from the backside was Peterson. And that's going to be a nice gain of about 15 yards on the play. And again, out of bounds after they stop the clock to move the chains. And at this rate, Amherst is in pretty good shape, really. I mean, they're down by 2 scores. They got to get a 2-point conversion. They probably going to have to get an onside kick. But on this drive, they're getting done on this drive what they need to do, and that is move the ball and move it pretty quickly. Clock still stopped because he got out of bounds. They're going to hand the ball off to Toppenheim. Toppenheim goes off to the right side, and just off tackle, he's going to be upended after a gain maybe of about 1. And now we'll see if Amherst picks up the pace here a little bit. Clock moving, 3:01, 3 minutes, 2:59 to go here in the fourth quarter, and it is 34-19. And they're huddling up. Precious time is ticking away. We'll see if that changes things a little bit, whether or not they go to the air here. They're in that shotgun, that offset eye, and they're going to roll to the left. Stevens has it, and it's a quarterback keeper all the way, and he tries to find a little hole to run through, and there just really wasn't a whole lot there. Pretty good lateral penetration for Bertrand as they spread things out, and Mike Edron was able to make the tackle after a gain maybe of about 1, and that is going to force Amherst to call a timeout. 2:19 to go here, fourth quarter, timeout Amherst. They've got it third and about 6, but they're down by 15 with 2:18 to go in the game. They call a timeout. We'll take it with them. We're back after this.
Tonight's sports broadcast is proudly brought to you in part by Tri-Valley Vets, serving Miller and all the surrounding area. Dr. Michael Sadoff and Dr. Andrew Sadoff of Tri-Valley Veterinary Clinic in Miller believes all of our furry friends, large and small, deserve kind, humane, and loving treatment. They can precondition your calves this fall and ultrasound your heifers and cows either at the clinic or on your farm, making it even more convenient for you is what Tri-Valley Vet enjoys doing. Best of luck, Amherst.
Get you caught up on some scores. Adams Central leads Gehring 23-20 in the fourth quarter. That one has turned into a pretty good ball game. Lincoln Lutheran leads Fillmore Central 21-12 with about 5 minutes left to go on that one. It is a final in Hastings as it's 28-7. Hastings St. Cecilia wins the 30th straight game. This one over Ravenna 28-7. And Lincoln Southwest with a big lead over North Platte at last report. And I'll try to check that for you here in just a little bit. Final SEM 34, Loomis 15. That one is a final. Pleasanton 46, Litchfield 8 at the end of 3 quarters of play. And here, a big 3rd and 6 for Amherst. Stevens will hand the ball to Toppenheim. Toppenheim a little seam. Boy, that hole closed very, very quickly, and he's only going to gain a couple of yards there. Peterson closed the hole, and also coming up was Tanner Nelson. Those linebackers filled that hole in very, very nicely. A gain of about two here. And we'll see what they've got in store on fourth down. This is the ball game, and we might say that more than once here, with a minute 50 to go, and it's 34-19. A lot of things are going to have to go Amherst's way from here on out. Third and a good solid five. Quick little pitch to Tobenheim. Tobenheim, not much room to run. They spread things out, and he does not even get close. He gains maybe one or two, and everything just kept getting extended on that far sideline. So that's going to be a turnover on downs, as Tobenheim just really did not have a seam to run through. And with a minute 34 to go here, it's going to be Bertrand moving to 4-0 on the season, and Amherst is going to fall to 1-3. Reminder for you that all the scores will be coming up for you on our Platte River Preps Friday Night Scoreboard Show coming up after our post-game show. We're going to try to talk with Bertrand head coach Brent Streeter. Might as well. We talked to the former coach. We should try to talk to the current coach. Nice to see Ron Kubik after several years. Illustrious career for Coach Kubik. State championship, probably one of the major highlights in that one, obviously. I formation here as Heise in at quarterback. He'll hand it off to his back, coming right through the middle, and he's going to go the distance. That's Anthony Warner. No! Tracking him down from the backside. Great speed by Mason Klingelhofer, as I thought Warner was probably going to go the distance. Instead, it's a nice, quick little hitter where he gains 22, about 24 yards. So Warner, who hasn't carried the ball except a couple of times in the early stages of the ball game, here has a quick little 24-yard hitter. Nice play there. And again, I thought he was going to go the distance. Minute 16 to go. They'll pitch the ball back out here to Brian Towdy. And Towdy, he's going to find a little room to run out there. He's going to gain maybe about 4 yards. So Towdy with about 4 yards. And, again, we're inside the final minute of play here. We'll call it second and a good solid six from about the 25-yard line. And right now, High is looking at the coaching staff and saying, when do you want me to snap the football? And I haven't seen anybody start the countdown yet. Now it comes, and this is going to be the victory kneel down here. High will kneel on it with about 33 seconds left, and the coaching officials are going to get everything all set up, and now they'll start the 25-second clock with less than 25 seconds to go here. So Bertrand does not need to snap the football if they don't want to, and I don't think they want to. The coaching staff is already putting their clipboards away and ready to run onto the field with 10 seconds left. Bertrand still staying in the huddle. So this is going to do it. Your final score, 34-19. Bertrand with the win over Amherst. Probably the play of the game was the 80-yard interception return that really sealed the deal here, as Amherst showed a lot of pluck in this one. They kept falling behind and kept driving back, but that defensive touchdown for Bertrand just kind of wrapped everything up here and put an end to it, an exclamation point on it, as Chance Younger with the 80-yard touchdown run after the interception. And he had a couple of runs. He had three touchdowns on the day, one of them on defense. The third one is the one that really sealed the deal. Once again, your final score, 34-19, as Bertrand remains undefeated. They're now 4-0, and Amherst falls to 1-3 on the season. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to total up some of the numbers. We'll go through the scoring summary, get you some scores caught up, and hopefully eventually be able to talk with Brent Streeter, the head coach of Bertrand. We'll do that when we come back with the Misco Sports postgame report right after this timeout.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Click.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's in Kearney now delivers.
As a proud supporter of the athletes and academics, Scott of Slyker Heating and Air Conditioning would like to extend a great thank you to everyone. When you need a new unit or service on your furnace, air conditioner, or heat pump, Trust Slyker Heating and Air. Scott takes great pride in his community and in all the athletes in and out of the game. From the smallest job to the biggest, Slyker does it personally so you know you can trust that it's done right. Slyker Heating and Air, serving Cumroe and surrounding area.
Great Plains Crop Services in Bertrand specializes in crop protection for your farm. See Roxanne today and ask her how she can get you the best coverage for all your crops so you can focus on the more important things in your life while we take care of protecting your livelihood. Great Plains Crop Services of Bertrand is a proud supporter of high school sports. Best of luck tonight from Roxanne at Great Plains Crop Services in Bertrand.
And welcome back here to Bertrand, where your final score was 34-19, and a nice win here for the Bertrand Vikings to move to 4-0 on the season. And again, Amherst, they kept fighting back, and they, the nail that kind of sealed the coffin a little bit was an 80-yard interception return for a touchdown. The ball caught really right on the goal line, or maybe even in it, and Chance Younger took it 80 yards for the return, and that made it 34-19. That was the final in the fourth quarter, as, again, Amherst really driving. Could have cut that down to a one-possession game if they would have got the conversion after the touchdown, and as a result of that, they end up losing this one 34-19. And, again, time after time, they kept answering the bell, but so did Bertrand right after Amherst made a big play. So congratulations to the Bertrand Vikings, now 4-0 on the season, and Amherst, they're going to get their share of wins. That's not a bad little football team out there, and they show a lot of grit and determination, even though they fell by 15 in this one, 34-19. Let's take a look at our scoring summary. Amherst was the first one to get on the board. They did so with a Tyler Stevens 10-yard run in their second possession of the game. They actually scored early in the second quarter with 9:20 to go in the second quarter, and a couple of first downs for Amherst in that one because of penalties on Bertrand kept the drive alive, 7-0 at that point. But then Bertrand scored on their next three possessions. Tyler Dahlgren on a 25-yard run, two-point conversion was good. They went up 8-7. They got the shorter field, and Chase Younger with a 4-yard touchdown run. That made it 16-7 after the conversion. Then Dahlgren again, this time a 10-yard run for Tyler Dahlgren. The try for two was no good, 22-7. And then late in the second quarter, Tyler Stevens hit Dylan Halligan on a great pass, 24 yards out on fourth down, and that made it 22-13. At that point, it was interesting anyway, even though Bertrand had the lead, but Amherst had a little bit of momentum in that one. And then the third quarter, the opening drive of the third quarter, Chance Younger capped off the drive with a 6-yard run. That made it 28-13. And then Amherst answered back a little bit. They eventually got a touchdown from Tobenheim from 1 yard out after a muffed punt gave them the very short field. That made it 28-19. And then Younger with that 80-yard interception return for the touchdown fairly late in the fourth quarter. That made it 34-19. And that was their final score. To talk to us about it a little bit is head coach Brent Streeter. And first of all, coach, congratulations. Great effort out there. And again, Amherst just didn't want to go away, but you guys kept making big play after big play.
Yeah, Amherst gave a lot of credit to those guys. Really physical. I tell you what, there's some big kids out there, and we thought we'd wear them down more than we did, but their shape showed up pretty good, and our kids were getting a little tired. So they wore on us. It was a little different than what we're used to, but their plan kept us in base defense all night. We stunt here and there, but we couldn't get crazy because they were hitting us at the point of attack.
And Stuart Hearcock, he hits you pretty good. That's a pretty pretty big fullback there. And Tobenheim runs behind his pads. A very physical game.
Those guys, when they run, they're falling forward. So you know what? If you don't hit them immediately and wrap up, it's already 3 yards. So once they slip out of one arm tackle, it's already second and five, and that's a long ball game that way.
It seemed to me that maybe you had an advantage in terms of team speed, and Colt Younger obviously would be a great example of that. It seemed like a lot of times you're just pitching the ball offensively and just trying to have him get to the corner.
Well, they were keying him, and I tell you what, they're not letting us go in the middle, and finally we got Tyler Dahlgren going tonight. They keyed on Chance most of the night, and we hit some really good quick dives and gives. It produced two touchdowns, got us out of a hole down here on the goal line, so that was huge on hitting outside veer plays, but I got to give a lot of credit to him. I tell you what, that was one ball game. I don't know what the final yardage is going to be, but it's probably going to be even on both teams. I don't think there's a punt, was there?
You
punted once.
You punted once, that little rugby-style punt, and I think they punted one time, which turned into a muff. We don't want to talk about that too much.
That's right. That could have been the game.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, for Amherst, they got a couple of opportunities. They kind of made some opportunities, but talk a little bit about chances interception. That, to me, probably the play that really sealed the deal.
It was huge because, I tell you, you just got to keep sticking to your guns. We had some great coverage on them all night. The pass right before half in the end zone was covered well. We had a crossing route out here covered well. They called interception on us, and it's frustrating. Hit him a little early, but he did exactly what his coach should do as far as technique-wise. And they made plays. But that last interception, you got to stick with what you're doing and read your keys, and just finally get under one and took it to the house. I don't know if it was in the end zone or not, but it was close.
Yeah, well, I gave him 80 yards. To me, it looked like he was coming right.
Yeah,
it just has a nice ring to it, I guess. If you go if you go from goal line to goal line. 4-0. I mean, obviously, you start the season and you're very optimistic with everything. Did you think 4-0 start was a legitimate expectation for you?
Yeah,
guys?
We really set some high expectations. I think we got a team that needed that after a year ago and won the district, which was a little bit surprising. But after that, we just said, you know what, we can't lower expectations from a district championship. So we're going to try to run the table. It's going to be tough. A physical game like tonight is just what the doctor ordered. We played some good athletes in the first three games, a lot of different formations and different schemes, but just straight at you, man-on-man football with base defense and a pretty much power offense by Amherst. That was a test, and that was a good game by both teams.
And I'm trying to look, and I don't have an updated score for you with Loomis, but obviously anytime Bertrand, you guys have Ansley next week. I apologize, but
yeah, Loomis next week.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong schedule here. Yeah. You guys have Loomis next week. I had it right in my mind, and
then
I looked at the wrong sheet. That's always a Donnybrook. That it's that they're dating the same girls. You know, they hang out at the same mulch. They don't have mulch shops, but these kids know each other.
Right.
That's always a good rivalry.
That's right. They go to the same church. They got a lot of them in the same clubs. 4-H. They're tight on that. So I tell you what, it's just fun. That football field gets on going. There's been times where one team's maybe had better athletes than the other. It don't make any difference. It doesn't. Just simply don't make any difference. This is always going to be fun. We snuck one out on them last year. So I'm sure that they're going to want that back. So it should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, good luck next week, Coach. Well played game, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All
appreciate
right.
It.
Really appreciate the effort there. And thanks, Brent Streeter, for talking to us here as part of the Nisco Sports postgame report. We're going to take a quick break. We'll try to total up some of those big numbers. Coach is right. The numbers are kind of big. I got to break out the abacus to total this all up. But we'll try to continue with that, and we'll continue with the Nisco Sports postgame report right after this timeout.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punts, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You'll find our lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal at the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
Plant smiles, grow laughs, harvest love. Rainbow Nursery is located between Bertrand and Loomis north of Highway 23 on E Road at the home of Scott and Renee Davis. Rainbow Nursery offers many opportunities for you landscaping, unique plants, yard tours, presentations to many organizations on landscaping and nursery topics, as well as consultations. Rainbow Nursery has flexible hours to try and work around your busy schedule. So call before you make the drive and schedule an appointment to get everything you need for a beautiful yard and flower bed. Blessings to all of you Vikings from Rainbow Nursery.
September is grand reopening month at Builders in Kearney. The remodeling is done inside and out, and Builders has added thousands of new items. Register from the 17th through the 24th for some fabulous prizes to be given away September 24th at 4 p.m. Must be present to win. $1,000 gift card, $500 gift card, Traeger grill, tools, and more. Visit BuildersNE.com for information on free clinics, including fast fix-up tips for your home. Builders does a grand reopening best this September at Builders in Kearney.
Builders does it best.
And welcome back here to Bertrand. We just totaled up the numbers, and let's give you, first of all, the numbers for Amherst. And leading the way for them was Tanner Tobenheim. He carried the ball 17 times for 94 yards. Ty Stevens had a pretty effective night running the football as well. He had 18 carries for 85 yards. Stuart Hurcock was a punishing runner. He finished with 8 carries for 29 yards, unofficially on the ground, 208 yards running for Amherst. And they had to go to the air a little bit in the second half. They had 71 yards in the first half. They finished with 29 and, let's see, about 63 yards in the second half. So they finished with 134 yards in the air to go with their 208 yards on the ground. So pretty good offensive output tonight for Amherst, who ends up scoring only 16 points on the night, but they had 342 yards of total offense, and 242 yards usually will get you will make a lot of hay for you. Unfortunately, they weren't quite able to make that kind of hay as they came up a little bit short here, as Bertrand also pretty good performance on the ground. Unofficially, I had them for right in the neighborhood of 260 yards as a team on the ground, and leading the way for them was Chance Younger. Younger had 18 carries for 155 yards, and then also pretty good effort by Tyler Dahlgren, who had 10 carries for 75 yards unofficially. Ryan Dahlgren, 8 carries for 31 yards as well, and then late in the game, got some extra yards from Anthony Warda, who had a nice little 29-yard run. He finished with 25 yards in the game. He had a loss earlier in the game. And also a quick little run by number 22, Brian Toddy. Toddy had one carry for about 4 yards. So actually it's about, I forgot those other yards there, it's right at 280 yards of total offense on the ground for Bertrand. Didn't put the ball in the air very much. They did have a 40-yard completion and another 6-yard completion. So they had over 320 yards of offense. They got another 46 yards in the air. So about 320 yards of offense for Bertrand, and, well, about that for Amherst. So Coach Streeter was right. Statistically, both these two teams fairly even. There was a fumble on a muffed punt for Bertrand that gave Amherst a very short field that turned into a touchdown for Amherst that made it a very tight ball game. But then obviously the interception late in the game that was returned 80 yards by Chance Younger for the touchdown that sealed the deal. And your final score in this one, 34-19, as again Bertrand is now 4-0 on the season. They'll be taking on their arch rivals in Loomis. Well, one of their arch rivals, anyway, in Loomis next Friday night. That should be a pretty good matchup as we try to check and see how Loomis did here in just a few moments. A reminder for you, you're listening to the MISCO Sports Post Game Show. Get your game on now at MISCO's. Stop by in the downtown Kearney Center. MISCO's will be better equipped for all the games you play. You might stop by tomorrow morning during the homecoming parade and maybe get something all ready to go watch the Loper game tomorrow, or you can pick up some other apparel, Husker apparel for the Wyoming game and all the other stuff that you need for actually playing the games or just being a fan and going to the games. MISCO's in the downtown Kearney Center. Some other scores for you. It's Holdridge with a 33-20 win over Sydney. Aurora traveling at Waverly, and Waverly right now at the end of three quarters of play has a touchdown lead. They lead it 35-28. That game now early on in the fourth quarter. Some other scores for you as well. It's Lincoln Southwest 67, North Platte nothing. That is a final. Broken Bow now leads over Shadron 28-14. Sargent leads Anselmo Myrna 62-6 after three quarters of play. Kennesaw over Heartland 80-8 at last report. And that obviously would have a moving clock as well. So that game has to be getting awfully close to being a final in that one. And it is a final as Sumner Eddyville Miller gets past Loomis 34-15 at last report. Also, Grand Island had a large lead at last report. Kearney High also with a large lead at last report. You want to know more of the scores? Well, by gosh, you have stayed to the right place. Just keep it tuned right here, because in just a few moments, Josh Sheldon will be giving you all that information for you on the Platte River Preps Friday Night Scoreboard Show coming up here in just a little bit. Once again, Amherst falls to Bertrand, the final in this one of 34-19. Amherst now 1-3 on the season. They will be taking on Ansley, who I believe was behind in their game today. They are coming into action tonight at 0-3. So Amherst will play host to Ansley next Friday night. Bertrand will travel to one of their arch rivals in Loomis next Friday night. That should be a pretty fun game, and certainly one of say thanks to all the folks here in Bertrand. Always feel welcome coming into Bertrand, and want to wish them best of luck on the rest of the season at 4-0 now, and say congratulations to them as well for their anniversary of 20 years since their state championship in 1991. I'm Randy Bushgaard. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we'll step away for a little bit. Josh Geldin coming up in just a few nanoseconds here with the Friday Night Scoreboard Show. I'm Randy Busher. For Stacy, down our engineer back in the studios, thanks for joining us, everybody. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Platte River Radio Sports.